Good afternoon. This is Paul Keels. After splitting a doubleheader yesterday, Cincinnati Reds continued their series at home with the St. Louis Cardinals tonight. Following an off day, Cleveland Guardians at home with San Francisco. Guardians going to play five and a half back in the AL Central, one back in the American League wildcard. Columbus Clippers host St. Paul tonight. It's Diamond Dog Night at Huntington Park. Ohio State running back Bo Jackson today named to the preseason watch list for the Doak Walker Award. Jackson was one of three freshman running backs last season to rush for over 1,000 yards. New York Giants today signed veteran free agent running back Najee Harris to a one-year deal. This update brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Summer gives weight loss a head start. Awaken 180 gives you the plan to make it happen. The official weight loss program of summer. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
About to enter a land of audio delight so awesome that you'll drop all important obligations to get your daily fix. Even Marconi, inventor of the radio, couldn't have imagined the pleasures that are about to invade your ear.
Oh, yes.
Try as you might, there's no escape. Let's begin.
How? Good afternoon.
This is Common Man and Timmy.
Doing good, Mike.
Featuring Panama Ted.
Too hot.
With special guests, Nicole Sheeran.
Yeah, dog.
Jen Winters.
I will kick you in the junk.
Jeff Rimmer.
I will be around to haunt you forever.
And Chris Collinsworth.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Broadcasting live from the corner of Cracky and Sacky.
Excuse me.
Here's Common Man and Timmy.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome in. The good clean boy is out today. So I decided to take a respected Ohio State journalist, sully his very name today. Dave Biddle is with me. Good to see you, buddy.
It's great to see you. I just got back from a Penn State frat party, so I'm feeling good.
Got a little Coke there? Yeah, we'll talk about that later on in the show. I dig your t-shirt, by the way, the Chicago Bulls t-shirt.
The one team that we both root for, well, other than Ohio State.
Of
the
course.
One professional team that we both root for.
I grew up
a big Bull. And it's got a little Tribe Called Quest with it. We on a war tour.
I like that.
So it's like, yeah. I always liked Tribe, and I used to love the Bulls. I still love the Bulls. Like, Caleb Wilson has given me some hope, which is more than I've had for, like, the last, what? Like,
Reimer's trying to get me to watch some games this year, telling me that I have some good stuff to look forward to. But because it's Reimer, and he's dumb, I don't believe him.
I do think Caleb Wilson is the real deal. The funny thing about that is, entering the draft, I wanted Darius Acuff, and I still think he was a good pick for the Kings at 7, but I was like, I hope the Bulls get Acuff, and then, because I didn't know as much as I should have about Caleb Wilson, and who knows, maybe it won't work out, but he looks... like, maybe he can, like, lead us to maybe, like, the 7th seed and not just the play-in
game. Talk to Reimer. Talk to Reimer. He'll give you an erection. How you doing there, Ted?
I'm doing good, Mike.
How you doing, Tress?
Doing good, Mike.
We got a big Tuesday show today. Inside the Buckeyes coming up at 3:46. Teddy's going to handle that today. What are you doing for Inside the Buckeyes, Teddy?
Well, we're going to do a little preview on our Buckeye replay. I know Tim's been doing some of that, you know, the last several weeks. And coming up this Saturday, we got the 2017 game against Penn State.
JT Barrett?
The JT Barrett game.
Yeah.
Everybody says that when you mention that game. It's like, JT Barrett.
That's exactly what I said when you mentioned that. Yeah, and like, remember that game started off with Saquon Barkley returning the opening kickoff for a touchdown? I'm like,
yeah,
kiss of death. Ted Ginn Jr. against Urban Meyer in Florida. The Bears in the Super Bowl.
The Colts.
Returned, the opening kickoff. I'm like, kiss of death. And then like midway through the game, I'm like, that wasn't the kiss of death. But maybe it was. But JT Barrett turned into like... Joe Montana that day.
See you next Tuesday with Jen Winters at 4 o'clock. Rapid fire at 4:30. And at 5:30, we normally do Timmy time, but today it's Mikey time. I was cleaning out the old PC, just getting rid of some files I didn't need. And I came across a little thing from 2020. I used to do this after Christmas because my family is known for giving the worst Christmas gifts ever. And so I have real or fake Christmas gift. What did I really get? And which one is made up? So Dave Biddle, I will ask you, 6 years ago, what did I get for Christmas coming up at 5:30?
I
really put the work in today, didn't I, Teddy?
Hey, you got some leftovers, you know, you got to whip them up and use them.
That sounds fun.
Although, Teddy, you have pissed me off. As soon as I sat, I had a plan here.
Uh-oh.
As soon as I sat down, I opened up my email, I saw that you sent me something from McDonald's Canada.
Yes.
And it has really aggravated me. I don't think I can do the show. Biddle, you a fan of McDonald's?
Kind of.
You can say
it
no.
It used to be
fine.
My favorite thing in the world when I was a kid. Like, I'd beg my parents coming home from, like, whatever, can we please get McDonald's? But, like, I try not to eat it now. But I would say yes, I'm still a fan.
Okay. All right. Here's my problem with McDonald's. And I say this with all the love in the world, being a super fan of the product. They take the American fan, like me, their number one market, their homegrown market, for granted. All right? We don't get the deals we should get. The app sucks. And they never give us the cool menu items that they get in other countries. Here is a press release from McDonald's Canada where they have launched something called Menu Heist. It says the appetite for international flavors is undeniable. What started here has grown into a global phenomenon with McDonald's in several countries bringing fan favorite menu items across the border in 2026. This year, we're introducing a fresh lineup of global favorites, giving Canadians, not us, the chance to enjoy menu items inspired by McDonald's restaurants from around the world, all in their local communities. I have been saying this, Teddy, you can back me up, for years, that we should have some sort of global menu item constantly on special.
Yes.
At McDonald's. It can
Yes.
rotate, right? Wouldn't you go if it was, hey, it's Korea burger time? What do they have at McDonald's Korea? Not North Korea, because they have nothing, but in South Korea.
Seoul.
Yes.
Yes.
Seoul. Right.
The Seoul burger.
And Canada, not us, is doing this. And I'm looking at some of the menu items on here. Chicken Parmy burger. Listen to this. This is from McDonald's Australia, Chicken Parmy burger. Chicken Parmy burger has crispy seasoned chicken layered with marinara sauce, creamy Parmesan sauce, shredded lettuce, and white processed cheese, all in a soft potato bun. Rich, saucy, and just the right amount of indulgent. Get it before it's gone, mate.
That sounds pretty good.
How about this? McExtreme pulled pork from Spain. Layers of pulled pork and barbecue sauce, and then a layer of beef patty, hickory smoked bacon, white processed cheese, crispy onions for some crunch, and creamy chipotle sauce for heat. Make one delicious sandwich.
That sounds a little better than the McRib. And I know a lot of people love their McRibs.
I do
that
like the McRib.
That sounds a little like you're leveling up a little bit from the McRib.
Cheesy bacon McFlavor fries. This is from France. Golden fries loaded with a creamy double cheddar cheese sauce and hickory smoked bacon. Eat it with a fork because it's so gooey. And then how about this from Japan? Garlic and black pepper chicken McNuggets with a dipping sauce of black garlic sauce. That looks delicious.
I would try it for sure.
Also, they have a Stroopwafel McFlurry from the Netherlands. Teddy, I told you.
Yeah.
You don't put stuff from Mike Florio in my packet. And you don't put stuff like this in my packet.
I apologize. But hey, it's a nice little food item.
Ruined the entire show.
And it aggravated you.
Ruined the entire show.
Good start to the show, yeah.
One thing we're going to do today with Dave Biddle, because you know things, is go sort of position by position with this Ohio State team. And I want you to rank on a scale of 1 to 5. 5 being you are ultimate confident in that unit heading into the season. 1 being Jaden Fielding, or whatever player you'd like to put down at 1. You brought up Joe Bowserman earlier.
Yes.
You put him down at 1.
Those are the 1 examples.
That's Joe your Bowserman least confident.
Jaden Fielding,
we've
yes.
had a few, not many, but you know, we'll put him down at 1. I doubt we're going to have a lot of position groups at 1, but I'm curious as we move through the show to get your take, since you know more about this team than anybody does.
I wouldn't say that.
No, no,
but
say
I appreciate it.
Trademark. Dave Biddle knows it all. That's your name, your new podcast.
I wish that was the truth, but I appreciate that, Mike.
Bo Jackson named to the Doak Walker preseason watch list. I mean, he is a guy that Ryan Day singled out on Saturday when he was talking to the media. So, it was funny because Ryan Day's talking about all the things that necessarily he didn't do last year, didn't necessarily put on tape. But we sort of skirt by the fact that this is a true freshman that ran for over 1,000 yards.
Exactly. And like the ebbs and flows of fall camp are always hilarious. You know, like a week ago, Buckeye fans were like, what's wrong with Bo Jackson? Why is Isaiah West like the next great thing? It's like, okay, like we know Bo Jackson's good. Isaiah's had a really good offseason. They're probably trying to motivate Bo a little bit. And it sounds like that's exactly what the case was. I think if you're an Ohio State fan, Mike, this is like a great thing because in the modern like world of football, you need like two main running backs. And they like their third string guy too, with Jacoby Jackson. And I think Legend Bay is going to have like a relatively big impact on this team for a freshman. But yeah, I mean, Bo Jackson, you could definitely tell like that Ryan Day was going out of his way, and he wasn't BSing, I don't think, going out of his way to praise Bo Jackson. He obviously had a very good scrimmage. I really like this running back room because it's reasonable to assume Bo Jackson as a sophomore will be better than he was as a freshman. Same thing with Isaiah West. I think Jacoby Jackson, seventh-year senior, something that's going to be going away after this year. There's two seventh-year seniors on the team with Hunter Welsing, the tight end coming from Northwestern. They really like Jacoby Jackson, and they really like Legend Bay. So I think this running back room will be better than what it was last year. I thought C.J. Donaldson as the power back was very underwhelming. He ran so like...
He had a couple big moments last year.
Yeah.
But I tend to agree with you. We labeled him as like this Ironhead Hayward type of guy. And really, it wasn't the case. You weren't as confident in short yardage situations as probably you should be. Maybe that's him. Maybe it was the offensive line. Who the hell knows?
Exactly. And I think, you know, they were one of the worst teams in the nation last year in short yardage, goal line, you know, red zone efficiency.
Trust me, Ryan Day knows it.
And they were, yeah, I know. And they were one of the best in 2024. That worked out pretty well. I do think, and we'll see. I love that the season's almost here. We'll find out. I think Arthur Smith is going to be a massive upgrade at offensive coordinator. Brian Hartline was fantastic. The best probably ever, not probably, was the best ever at recruiting wide receivers and developing them, in my opinion. I think he was over his head as an offensive coordinator. I think he could possibly be a good head coach if he has the right coordinators, because he could be like a guy that just recruits as a culture guy. But as a tactician, I didn't really see it with Hartline. And I think Arthur Smith is going to make a big impact this year. We shall see.
How much is Ohio State spending on this football roster? We got a little bit of inside information. We'll talk about it next. Common Man and Timmy on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got some slowdown due to an accident that's on eastbound 670 at 71. And there's a residual traffic from an earlier accident on northbound 71 on the south side from Greenlawn Avenue to 315. This report is sponsored by your local Rood air conditioning pro partners. Is it rude to touch someone else's thermostat? Absolutely. Unless you're a certified Rood pro partner and fixing a problem system for good. Get out with the old and in with the Rood this summer. Upgrade to a high efficiency Rood system at RoodColumbus.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a rain-free afternoon ahead of us. That's a nice thing to hear. Less humid, mostly sunny skies, highs around 81. Overnight, mostly clear skies, lows of 64. Clouds gradually increase once again for your Wednesday. There's a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms developing, mainly later in the day, with highs around 80. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus is the official sportsbook sponsor of Common Man and Timmy. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
This show has over 50 years of combined radio experience.
They also have a combined mental age of 11. You're listening to Common Man and Timmy.
I want to talk to you about my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Are you dealing with ED, erectile dysfunction? I want you to schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health today. Your initial visit, just $99, includes a medical consult with a licensed medical provider, a TNPSA test, and if medically advised, a test dose. And if that test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. Maybe you're saying, Common Man, how am I going to know if it works in the office? Where are you going to poke your eye out? Poke your eye out with your own wiener. Now, they can't make it bigger, but they can make it hard. They have an expert staff. What's the matter, Ted? They have an expert staff. And if you're like a lot of men, you could be having hibbity-dibbity time the day after your appointment. Call them today, 800-900-9654, or visit tristatementshealth.com. I'll tell you, if they can make it bigger, be a line like the deli counter on a Saturday. Just people just waving numbers in the air. I'm next! I'd be there too. Dave Biddle's with me today. He doesn't need it bigger. It's big enough. Inside the Buckeyes coming up at 3:46. We'll do See You Next Tuesday with Jen Winters at 4 o'clock. How much is Ohio State paying for their football roster? Well, no one knows for sure, but there are some sources that say they are in the $40 million and above club. What was it? Bjorky just a couple years ago said $20 million. Well, first it was Ryan Day said we need 12. Then it was Bjorky saying $20 million is the standard now. Now we're above 40. Do you buy that number?
I do. Yeah, I for sure do. And it is crazy because that got so much airplay when Bjork said Ohio State has a $20 million roster. And there were other teams that did that year too, including Texas, Oregon, and others. That's like the best $20 million like anybody's ever spent on a sports team.
Right, no kidding.
Like, that's a bargain now looking at. Yeah, it's crazy. You knew it would go up, Mike, but like the fact that it's doubled in the last 2 years is crazy. And I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think there's any chance of the bill that is going to eventually be on the floor of the Senate. I don't think there's any chance of it passing the Senate. And even if it does, I don't think it's going to pass the House. I think a CBA is the only way if you want guardrails, in my opinion.
CBS Sports is Chris Hummer and John Talty. Put this list together. Here are the teams believed to be in the more than $40 million club with Ohio State: LSU, Miami, Notre Dame, Oregon, Texas, and Texas A&M.
No Texas Tech.
Tech.
Our guy Cody Campbell's falling behind. He's probably only at like $35 million.
I was going to say they're not even off the next line down here is right off the $40 million line, and that's where Georgia, Michigan, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and USC live.
Huh.
I'm surprised that there's no Alabama in there.
Yeah.
And to your point, I'm surprised just because I know the type of money they've been throwing around, there's no Texas Tech in there.
I imagine that's not completely accurate. I would be shocked if Texas Tech's not in the $35 million range. I mean, they were above $30 million last year from all accounts. Again, it's so weird, Mike, that this is like, that we don't know the actual numbers. Most of these are public schools. You can look up what the janitor at Texas Tech makes.
Right, right.
You can't look up what the quarterback makes.
Yeah, we can file a Freedom of Information request for emails, right? As long as it's being sent on university email accounts, but we don't know how much these guys make collectively. We're just guessing.
Right. And I know
somehow HIPAA has to do with that. That's what they tell me all the time. We're not that clear with injury reports. Like, HIPAA!
That's definitely what HIPAA was. That was definitely the genesis of HIPAA.
Sure.
We want to protect what these kids are making from NIL, these seven figures that they're making. Yeah, and there's ways to find out. Like, you have, like, agents that could tell you. You could have like people in the collectives, which Ohio State's kind of done away with, even though the former collectives, like the foundation, have kind of just been like embedded with what the school's doing. So it's not like it's not like they don't exist, but it's not the same. So you can like for example, like I found out last year that Ethan Onionwa, the offensive lineman they brought in from Rice last year, I was told he was making like seven figures. Like
no
low seven figures, but like probably right at, I was told like probably right at like $1 million. Like right at, like not $1 million and one, like $1 million. And I was like, all right, well, you know, he's going to be the starting left tackle, or common man, he's going to be like the ninth. Even when they were down to their sixth offensive lineman, seventh, eighth, he still wasn't in.
I was going
to
say.
He was like their ninth offensive lineman. He was making $1 million last year. So there are ways of finding out. But yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised at all that Ohio State's in the $40 million range.
So look in the crystal ball now, because it seems like everybody I have on this show, I sort of ask, where do you think this is all going? You said you didn't think the College Sports Act would pass, at least not in its current form, even though the Big Ten and the SEC have kind of put their weight behind it, although who the hell knows? What's the end game here in terms of money being spent on rosters? I know a lot of coaches out there talk about a salary cap. They don't talk about salary cap for coaching staffs, oddly enough, but they always talk about it for players, for these teams to, quote, stay competitive. Where do you think we end up with this?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I think the only way to actually legally solve this would be through a CBA, a collective bargaining agreement. But like, if you're a college football player or you're the people advising them, why would you want that? It's easy for like us to say, like, just do what the NFL does and Major League Baseball and all the professional sports. Have a CBA, and then you don't have to follow the antitrust laws. You won't have to worry about going to court. and getting absolutely blasted every time you go to court. I mean, when's the last time the NCAA won a court case with all this stuff, with player movement and restricting how much players can make?
Right.
You're not going to win. The only solution, in my opinion, is a CBA. But if you're a player, why would you want that? Like, and I don't know, man, it's a mess. Now, I am one that thinks like college football is still very exciting, extremely exciting. The ratings are through the roof. I can't wait for Ohio State season. I am concerned about the long-term future of the sport because it just does not seem sustainable at all to me.
Do you think that it's just inevitable, like I do, that we're going to have even more of a Pangea forming? We've seen the conference realignment the last 10, 15 years, but I think we're going to sort of be all in one boat where we have centralized scheduling, almost a commissioner type of figure that represents all of college football, not necessarily factoring in the other sports at the university, but just college football. Do you think we'll get there?
I do. I do think that's the fact that we have all these different conferences right now, I think eventually there's going to be a quote unquote super conference, and people are like, well, how would you define that? Basically the Big Ten, SEC, and then poach some, you know,
the teams that matter from the Big 12 and the ACC.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's where we're headed. And you could argue that that is the most reasonable situation. Like, it is basically NFL light right now anyway. Have about 60 teams or whatever it is, you know, a little less than double the NFL. And I do feel like that is the future of college football.
I'm with you, though. There are real concerns about, you know, the game from a financial standpoint. I get it. I'm not as down in the dumps, though, about the product and the game itself as some people are, especially in the media. I feel like there's this notion from some people who have been around a long time, and you've been around a long time, and I've been around a long time in this market, that the sky is falling, that this is not the same game. And it's we've gone through transitions throughout college sports really forever. When you look at the introduction of big time college sports, and they were essentially employees, and they were being paid to the amateurism aspect of it, to the crazy bowl system that we have today that some people want to say is tradition, but is really just a way to appease television and sponsorship. You know, the good old fashioned values that America represents. I still think this is a fun game to watch. I'm still looking forward to this season like I look forward to any season. And the fact that these guys are making $40 million collectively, if we believe that, doesn't really alter my excitement at all.
Right. And they're like helping, obviously, like bringing in all this money that the Big Ten is making. I agree with you 100%. I think the product is excellent right now. I just, as I said, I fear for the future of it. And I'm not talking like 2 years from now, like 10 years from now. I do wonder what college football is going to look like.
Absolutely.
And I think right now the product is awesome. I really do. And like, you could argue like a lot of this that's happened has like made the sport more exciting. Who would have ever in their mind thought Indiana would not only make the playoff? Everybody thought that that was like a fluke. They make the playoff, like, oh yeah, and then they got beat by Notre Dame. Like, they're going to fall off. Then they go 16-0, win the national championship. Their quarterback's the Heisman Trophy winner and a number one pick of the draft. So you could argue it's kind of made college football more interesting. And if you're an Ohio State fan, you could say it hasn't affected Ohio State one way or the other. Ohio State's a power before all of this. Ohio State's a power right now. There's about, as you mentioned, Mike, there's about six or seven teams that are playing on a different level when it comes to NIL. Ohio State is one of those teams. So if you're a Buckeye fan, it doesn't affect you at all right now. You're looking forward to the season. You're probably more excited than ever. But again, man, like 10, 15 years from now, I do wonder.
Dave Biddle in for Timmy. Ryan Day should feel disrespected. I'm going to tell you why coming up in 2 minutes. Colin Mann and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got slowdown due to an accident if you're on London Groveport Road at Groveport Road. We also have slowdown due to a crash on the shoulder of eastbound 670 at 71. This report is sponsored by Cooper Elliott. A trucking company's carelessness can turn your life upside down. Cooper Elliott, your hometown law firm, takes on powerful companies at trial and doesn't settle for less. Get the experienced representation you need. Visit CooperElliott.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man and Timmy is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. Listen every weekday from 3 to 6. They're good, clean boys. The Fan.
Timmy desperately needs you to listen to this show so he can pay for his stupid dog's 10th ACL surgery. This is Man and Timmy.
Dave Biddle in for Timmy. We're going to talk about cocaine at Penn State in a little bit. But you know what? That's not fair. It's many drugs, not just cocaine. I don't want to typecast them into one type of drug. You know what? I like the word cocaine in Spanish because it's cocaína.
I never knew that.
Yes, because I watch all these To Catch a Smuggler shows and To Catch a Smuggler Peru. And it's always, oh, you test positive for cocaína. And if you didn't know any better, it'd be a beautiful name for a girl. This is my daughter, cocaína. This is my daughter, diarrhea. I've always said that's a beautiful name. If you didn't know what diarrhea was, let's assume you did not have a context for what it was. And you just said, this is my daughter, diarrhea. Diarrhea Biddle. It's beautiful. Rolls right off the tongue. Or the anus.
When you add it with the last name, I don't like it.
Diarrhea Biddle.
I was going to like kind of agree with you. Now I have to disagree with you.
All right. Ryan Day should feel disrespected. So Chris Vanini from The Athletic put together coaching tears. Okay. Not T-A-T-E-A-R-S. I can't even spell it. T-I-E-R-S. And he says that it's Kurt Cignetti and Kirby Smart on their own tier, and then everybody else is below them. First of all, do you disagree with the two that he's put at the tippy top on tier number one?
I would put Ryan Day on tier one. I understand where he's coming from. I definitely would have Cignetti number one. I don't know how you could argue that based on, and yeah, Google it, right? It wasn't just what he's done at Indiana the last 2 years, which by itself would put him at number one. He really has won everywhere he's been, like hence him like at 2024 Media Days calling his shot. And I had like all these reporters around me just cackling in the background. I don't think they're Ohio State reporters. I don't remember any names, but they're just cackling. Who does this guy think he is? He doesn't know he's at Indiana. I'm okay with Kirby Smart being there. He's won two. I know Dabo's won two, but Dabo's program's fallen off a lot. I would put Ryan Day in tier one as the third guy, but he's like, he's not even the top of tier two.
No, well, here's tier two, and this is why I said he should feel disrespected. Yeah. Mario Cristobal is there.
Top of tier two?
Yeah. Then there's Ryan Day. Then there's Kalen DeBoer from Alabama. And here's why I say he should be disrespected, because on this list, Ryan Day is on the same tier. Tier two as James Franklin from Virginia Tech.
I saw that. You're right. That's the one that stood out to me, too.
That's the thing. James Franklin, he who has really never won a big game in his life, is on the same tier as a man who's won the national championship.
And Kalen DeBoer being on there, too. I know like he's ahead of James Franklin. I know Ryan's ahead of James Franklin, but like still in the same tier, as you're saying. Like even Kalen DeBoer, I mean, you take over a powerhouse program and like it just, and we'll see what happens this year. Maybe he'll turn it around. I did think he was a good coach at Washington, but yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Like that was the one that jumped out at me. I'm like, James Franklin's like tier two. Like,
okay.
Are you sure?
The other names on this list, Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame. Then it's Lane Kiffin, who's at LSU now. Dan Lanning, Oregon, Steve Sarkisian, Texas, Dabo, as you mentioned, Clemson, and then Kyle Whittingham, first year Michigan head coach, also in tier two. Disagree with any of those? Would you add anybody who's not there or drop somebody on that tier?
Jeez.
James Franklin.
Other than James Franklin, right. I don't have a problem with that tier. I'm sure some people will be like, "What, Kyle Whittingham, like, what's he doing on there?" Like, he had a really good run at Utah, and it's weird having a head coach at Michigan that I don't dislike. They've had like a string of guys that were easy to dislike, Mike. And
well, not yet.
Kyle,
you'll find something.
I'll definitely hate him like when November rolls around, but he's a likable dude. But no, I think other than James Franklin, like you said, I don't have a problem with any of those guys on tier two. I would put Ryan Day at the very least at the top of tier two over Cristobal. I would put Ryan Day in tier one.
Some cocaine stuff and other drugs happening at Penn State. More than a dozen Penn State University students are accused of packaging and selling cocaína as part of a multi-state drug operation. Up to Sunday between 2023 and 2024, large amounts of cocaine, were transported from Philadelphia and New York to State College, Pennsylvania. The drugs were cut, packaged, and sold primarily to Penn State students in the dorms. Officials identified the two leaders of the operation, Agostano Abatido, 24, of Westbury, New York, and Thomas Robinson, much easier to say, of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 23 years old. The drugs were primarily packaged at the fraternity houses by both fraternity brothers and pledges. Well, you know, well, you got to earn your stripes, don't you?
You want to go through Hell Week or you just want to cut up some coke? It's your call.
He also said some of the pledges cut and bagged cocaine as part of their initiation, which I just said. So, look, no members of the football program have been charged with this, but I just, you never know what's going on, right? This isn't just, I got a bag of weed in my pocket. Would you like to buy it off me for $50? This is like a high-end operation going on.
Yeah, they're bringing in like kilos and having like the pledges like cut it up, like you said. Like, yeah, this was a big deal. I read a lot about this today. Because when I first saw it, I'm like, okay, there's drugs at a fraternity house. Like, then I read more about it. I'm like, oh, I get why this is a big story.
Yes,
this is not your typical, like, yeah. Like,
almost a trafficking operation.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Speaking of things in bags at Penn State, this happened to me once upon a time. Have you ever had, on your trip to Happy Valley, a bag of urine thrown at you?
I have not, but I've heard the story. Same thing with, now Wisconsin's completely lost their mojo, but back in the day, Wisconsin was known for that too. But yeah, the Ohio State band won't go to Happy Valley anymore because the Ohio State band members got like urine thrown on them.
Yeah, bags of piss sort of dampen the mood for the trombone.
I feel like it does. Yes.
You're a Reds guy, aren't you?
Unfortunately.
Reds and Cardinals split a double dip yesterday. Same two teams again tonight. I was up last night watching the White Sox and the Cubs interleague play, which, by the way, I saw this stat, and I always find it amazing when you play all these games and then eventually you're just right back at even. If you include the 1906 World Series, White Sox and Cubs are 81-81 against each other.
Wow.
They've played all those games, 81-81. And last night I stayed up and I watched Pete Crow Armstrong hit a walk-off home run, hit the leadoff home run of the game on the first pitch, and then walk-off home run to win it in extras. And I had this moment of just the pit of my stomach, and the diarrhea was about to flow out. And I was like, it's almost like Jerry when he gets his emotions and he starts to cry, and he's like, what is this salty discharge? I had forgotten what it was like to care about my baseball team because they've been so bad. But here I am last night, living and dying against my mortal enemy, the Chicago Cubs. And the feeling was both terrifying, miserable, but exhilarating to actually care about something.
I understand 100% where you're coming from being a Cincinnati pro sports fan. Like, there was like, you know, the Bengals were a complete joke for a while. And then like when they got kind of good, you know, I was like, this is weird. And then they'd rip my heart out. I'm not talking about the year they went to the Super Bowl. The year they almost beat the Steelers in the playoffs. This is like 2015. So this would have been like the combination of like Pac-Man Jones and like Vontaze Burfict and all these idiots like ruining the game for them. And I'm thinking, geez, and it ripped my heart out. I'm thinking, well, this is better than like the absolute lost decade where they were a joke. I'm like, is it better? Same thing with the Reds. Like, when
they tease you, exactly. Yeah,
it's almost like easier on the psyche if you just know my terrible team is terrible. I'm not invested in it. They trick you into getting invested in it. By the way, did you see the fight in the stands?
I did.
My goodness,
I was just happy to see it wasn't any White Sox fans involved.
And the Cubs fans had no. It was at Wrigley. They had no interest in helping this guy out. Like, White Sox fans were just beating the crap out of this guy, and I'm like, are any Cubs fans gonna? He's gonna have some like a Ryan Sandberg jersey on. Help this guy out. He looks like he can fight. Not right now.
I'll tell you, though, it's nice that the rivalry has some mojo, because you could not have two different fan bases, right? And I got this growing up where I'm a White Sox fan and I'm surrounded, you know, 10-1 by Cubs fans. And you root for the same teams otherwise, whether it's the Bears, the Bulls, or, you know, whatever. But this one issue divides who you are, really. And I remember there's this small man. The White Sox have this small man syndrome where you almost feel like you got to stick it, like you're David going up against Goliath. And the fact that we were able to, in 2005, win the World Series before they were able to win it, there's no better feeling than that. And then there was no worse feeling when they actually went and did it themselves and everybody forgot 2005. But I'm glad that we have a rivalry again.
That is good. And 2005 was awesome. Ozzie Guillen.
Do you remember it?
Of course I do. Of course I do. I went to a White Sox playoff game in 1993. at, I guess it was New Comiskey.
I was going to say, that must have been the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Sox lost the game.
Because they didn't have a wild card round back then, so that was the ALCS.
Yes, sir. And you'll love this. My mom wrote a, this is so funny, wrote a note to my teacher, literally, I'm not even joking, said, please, she calls me David, please excuse David's absence as he's going to the baseball playoffs in Chicago. And this was after I already went. I gave it to this guy. His name was Mr. K, Mr. Kokensparger. And I gave it to him. He looks at it, looks at me, kind of laughs. He's like, don't ever, ever, ever show this to anybody. And kind of, excuse the absence. Please excuse David's absence for going to the baseball playoffs in Chicago.
We will do some Inside the Buckeyes with Teddy. You ready for this, Teddy? Because I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right, that's coming up next. Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got a small slowdown on eastbound 70 on the east side from 270 to Bryce Road, and you're looking at a five-minute holdup if you're on northbound 71 on the north side from 670 to 11th Avenue. This report is sponsored by Ohio Basement Authority, your local expert. Are your floors sagging? Are musty smells reeking throughout your home? Contact Ohio Basement Authority, the crawl space repair experts. Get your free inspection today. Learn more at ohiobasementauthority.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
There was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. Home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
These two morons keep the studio so cold that Timmy's nipples can cut glass. You're listening to Common Man and Timmy.
These guys are cool, but not that cool.
I want to talk to you about my friends at Comer and Cross. What do? They do concrete floor coating, specifically your garage. They can install a gleaming new Comer and Cross garage floor in just one day. And they're all certified uniform pros, no subcontractors ever with Comer and Cross. They are the gold standard. They actually go in and fix other people's bad work. They can guarantee that their garage floor that they put in for you is never going to chip, chip, crack, or show tire lift like epoxy or paint ever. And you lazy bum, they'll even take the stuff out of the garage for you. Unless it's like a gun safe or caskets or dead bodies, then you're on your own. They're not going to put it back in either. That's on you. For your quick and easy Comer and Cross garage floor quote, call them today. 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. 1-800-NEW-FLOOR or go to comercross.com, comercross.com. Dave Biddle is with me. Timmy is out. Timmy normally does Inside the Buckeyes, but today, Panama Ted takes center stage. Hit it.
Common Man and Timmy present Inside the Buckeyes.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
All right, Teddy, what are we doing today?
All right, I thought we would just continue on with like how Timmy's been handling these segments, just sort of previewing.
Mailing it in?
Kind of. But he's previewing the Buckeye replays that we've been doing on Saturdays during the summer. And this weekend, it'll be 4 o'clock on Saturday here on The Fan, right after the Browns pregame or preseason game. So as soon as you're done listening to the Browns lose their preseason game, we'll go right into this Buckeye replay, which is the game from 2017, Ohio State and Penn State here at the Shoe. And I know where I was running the network here in the studio listening to that game, and didn't look so great throughout that game. And Dave, you were at the game, I assume, right?
I was in the press box for the JT Barrett show.
Yeah, that, and we were talking about that, how if you look at his career, this is probably his greatest game as a Buckeye, probably. I mean, he was fantastic. You mentioned he was like Joe Montana out there.
Well, considering, you know, he wasn't on the field for, you know, the Big Ten championship game and then playoff games where they ultimately won the national championship. Yes, you can make a case this was his greatest moment.
It'd be hard to make a case against it, you know? It certainly wasn't the previous year in the playoffs against Clemson when they lost 31-0. And Clemson's players were like, we knew he couldn't throw the ball. And then I think Ryan Day made a big difference because keep in mind in 2016 the offensive coordinators were Ed Warner and Tim Beck. And
why are you doing this? Right. This is supposed to be a fun segment.
Sorry.
We're looking back on happy things.
I have no happiness in my life, Mike.
Well, this will continue on with something that's not happy. This game started out really bad for the Buckeyes, and here's a little cut from that.
Saquon Barkley, in many people's count, the front runner for the Heisman Trophy, is in the north end of the stadium to await the kick from Sean Nuremberger, Ohio State's junior place kicker, who set a Big Ten record.
Let's see if the Buckeyes kick it deep.
Let's see if they will. Barkley returned the opening kickoff against Indiana for a touchdown for Penn State. So Sean Nuremberger has it teed up, and he kicks from south to north. And it's going to be a shorter kick. Barkley's going to field it at about the 4, right side. Brings the 10, middle of the field. 15 goes Barkley, left side 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. He's loose to the 50, down the left side, and Barkley is down to the Ohio State 20 to the 10, and he will coast into the end zone. Saquon Barkley for a touchdown run on the opening kickoff.
Urban didn't do a lot of things that pissed me off, but his refusal to kick the ball in the back of the end zone because he just had faith in his coverage guys to do their job. I will take the certainty of here's where the ball is going to be. I don't have to worry about a situation like that, right? But in his mind, it's like, no, I know my guys and they can cover and they can do their job. It's, no. Don't kick it to a guy like Saquon Barkley.
That's exactly right. Like, if you know their kickoff returner is like just a guy, okay, I can get down with it. But, like, if it's Saquon Barkley, kick it out of the end zone. We know Sean Nuremberger could kick it out of the end zone if he wanted to.
Yes. All right, Teddy.
So that put the Buckeyes behind, and they were playing catch-up. They were down at one point 21-3. And then going to the end of the third quarter, it was 35-20. And then JT Barrett stepped up and made a nice play here.
Snap to Barrett. Barrett back of the 46 to pass. Barrett looking. Fires middle of the field. Dixon wide open. Dixon to the 10 to the 5. Touchdown. Johnny Dixon on a 38-yard pass play from JT Barrett. And after the block punt, Ohio State gets a little more of a good groove going. They find themselves still trailing 35-26.
I forgot about the block punt. And quite frankly, I forgot about Johnny Dixon. Let him live.
And of course, Johnny Dixon, he was not done yet because the Buckeyes, they gave up a field goal to Penn State after that, and then they got the ball back. So then we're looking at 38-27 at that point. And then this happened with JT to Johnny Dixon again.
Resettles into the shotgun, gets the snap. Barrett looks, throws, left corner of the end zone, ball in the air, caught by Johnny Dixon for the touchdown. As Dixon had Amani Oruwariya covering him on the right side, but it's a 10-yard touchdown pass. Barrett to Dixon, the second time they hook up. And so now 38-33 is the Penn State lead.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
Johnny Dixon.
As they always said about Johnny Dixon, right?
Yeah, and Johnny Dixon, in that game, he had 3 catches for 56 yards.
And 2 of them were touchdowns.
And 2 of them were touchdowns. Yeah, the leading receiver in the game was K.J. Hill. He had 12 catches, 100 yards. So no touchdowns, but yeah, he had 12 catches that day. Now, so the Buckeyes would force a punt on the next series, and so they're down 38-33, and this was the drive of the game, so you'll hear the few plays here that the JT put together and gave them the go-ahead score.
Ohio State from their 44. Barrett back at his 36. Barrett throws up the right side. Caught by McLaurin at Penn State's 40. Tackled at the 37 of the Nittany Lions by Christian Campbell. 2:40 left in the game. Buckeyes trailing. First down at the 36 of Penn State. Barrett rolling to the left. Throws left. Caught at the 34-yard line by Hill. Thrown out of bounds at the Penn State 30 by Grant Haley, cornerback. And that clock is at 2:22 and counting. Second and 4. Ohio State at the Penn State 30. Barrett in a shotgun. Gets the snap. Barrett looks to throw. Barrett shakes. Now fires right side. Caught by Hill to the Penn State 20. Hill to the 16. JT Barrett gets the offense assembled at the Penn State 16-yard line. Barrett in a shotgun. Weber on his right-hand hip in the backfield. Barrett gets the snap. Barrett fakes the handoff. Looks to throw. Fires into the end zone. Caught Marcus Paugh. Touchdown Marcus Paugh as JT Barrett hits him with a strike.
And that gave him the 39-38 lead. The Buckeyes' defense held after that. They forced a turnover on downs, 4 plays. They had a minus 5 yards on that series for Penn State, and then they just kneeled the clock out after that.
You sort of knew I remember watching that game with my wife, and I sort of elbowed her and said, before the ball touchdown, right, I said, they're going to win this game. Because, and I, you know what? All Penn State fans knew it too. They right, knew that yeah. on that final drive, they weren't going to do anything, and they didn't.
Once that punt got blocked, and then the Buckeyes, like, backed it up with a touchdown, you know, even though Penn State's still winning by, what, 8 at that point?
Yeah.
But the momentum had turned so much.
Exactly. And they, right. And they knew James Franklin was big game James.
That's right.
Complete sarcasm.
You can catch the full version of that Buckeye replay 4 o'clock right after Browns preseason action on Saturday here on The Fan. See you next Tuesday with Jen Winters. All the behind the scenes gossip is coming up next. Colin Mann and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got traffic slowing down due to an accident if you're on East Livingston Avenue at Woodcrest Road. And we also have a crash blocking the right lane, causing delay on northbound 71 on the north side at 270. This report is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. Why pay full price when you can customize and save? Switch to Liberty Mutual and they'll customize your auto and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Sting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. This is Paul Keels, Ohio State running back Bo Jackson. Today named on the preseason watch list for the Doak Walker Award. Jackson was one of three freshmen last season to rush for over 1,000 yards. Diamond Dog Night at Huntington Park tonight. Columbus Clippers playing host to St. Paul. Following an off day, Cleveland Guardians at home with San Francisco. Guardians 5.5 back in the AL Central, 1 back in the wild card. Cincinnati Reds at home with the St. Louis Cardinals tonight. Bill Rasmussen, co-founder of the ESPN television network, passed away today at age 93 after battling Parkinson's disease. Rasmussen started the network in 1979 along with his son. This update brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Summer gives weight loss a head start. Awaken 180 gives you the plan to make it happen. The official weight loss program of summer. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Men who are not allowed to sleep in the same room as their wives. This is Man and Timmy.
Happy Tuesday. It's our big girthy show. We talked to Jen in a little bit. Rapid fire coming up at 4:30. And then Mikey time instead of Timmy time today. I really put a lot of work into this one. What did I get for Christmas 6 years ago? That's the whole thing for today. Oh, look, Jen's here.
Oh, hey. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a thing.
Here you go.
It's time for an inside look at the fan with everyone's favorite foul-mouthed female, Jen Winters. Sponsored by Hydrate Me Med Spa, offering IV therapies designed to enhance your overall wellness.
Now, you hosted with me yesterday.
I did, and I'm sorry. I know you're still trying to recover
I'm recovering from that.
Sorry,
and then
Columbus.
You will be a part of the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow.
Yeah, me and Rims together, right? Will Rims be here?
Yes, Rims.
Well, he'll be calling again.
He doesn't miss it. Are you kidding?
Are you doing video again with him? Because that was...
No, that's not allowed.
That was a thing, man.
I bought a new microphone. You have no idea how to use it.
It was so cute, though.
So Jen is here. Dave Biddle is here. I like being with both of you. I feel smarter.
I love Bids. I love just getting the chance to see Bids. And like when you see Bids in the wild, it's also fun. Like at Buckeye training camp, it was like, there's Bids. Hey, Bids. So I love Bids. Bids is a cool dude.
We have some charity things coming up.
We do. Right now, and I'm trying to get my damn phone won't load in. So I'm going to try and do this as best I can from top of my head tomorrow.
Well, this will be wrong.
Right. Tomorrow from, I believe it's 6 a.m., 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Marriott on Cassidy Avenue by the airport. We and Channel 10 are doing a blood drive, they're calling it a give-in, for the Red Cross. It goes to help people who have been affected by the storms that have come through over the past week. You can sign up if you go to 971thefan.com. Click on the graphic on the front slider. There's information on the page, on the landing page.
Probably better information than this.
Right, but you can go there and you can sign up. I also believe they are also taking walk-ins. You will get a pass for either Cedar Point or Kings Island. It depends on whatever.
Nice.
Whichever one you would like to go to.
I think Scotty Vegas is down at Kings Island today.
He's at Mason across the street at the Southern Open? Western
Cincinnati.
Southern Open?
Tennis. Yeah. It used to be called the Western. Tennis. And now it's just the Cincinnati Open again.
Okay. So yeah, he's down there. So you can get that. You also get, I believe, a gift card to Amazon and a Chick-fil-A gift card as well. For signing up and going in and
that's
donating
damn
blood.
Good.
So yeah, it is, and I finally got the thing to load in.
Can I just bring some blood from home?
Sure,
too?
Go for it.
Yeah.
They can just clean it, right?
They put it through filters and stuff. Absolutely.
It's like you can put it, do you have a Brita filter?
You should put the blood through that.
Put the blood through your Brita filter.
Ooh, Machu
and then donate. Yes. And donate.
It's going back to college, the Brita filter.
But no, it is tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Columbus Airport Marriott on Cassidy Avenue over by the airport. So, yeah, go. More information, like I said, head to 971thefan.com. Also on 971thefan.com, we, again, with Channel 10, are doing the Life Care Alliance fan drive where you purchase a new box fan. There are ways, again, through the website to go click on it. It'll take you to their Amazon page. You purchase one, it'll send them directly over to Chuck and our friends at Life Care Alliance.
Oh, that's beautiful. So you don't have to worry about getting it and bringing it down here like you used to.
So please, please, please help out our fellow folks here in Central Ohio. We've not had a very easy past couple of weeks here with the weather and then lots of heat over the entire summer. So if you could help out in that way, I would greatly appreciate it.
Busy upstairs today? Like your laughter says it all.
I've been doing stuff from home.
By the way, I want to correct something. Yesterday I told the audience, because I thought, this is what it was. Fish thought this is what it was, too. A torn patella tendon.
What is it?
He tore his quad muscle.
Oh, God. That's even worse sounding.
Yes, he tore his quad.
Oh.
So I think he has surgery scheduled for tomorrow. Yeah. And I was thinking, Teddy, remember the time that Vince McMahon tore both quads?
Yes.
Getting in the ring, and then he had to sit down. He couldn't get up.
Back in the corner, yeah. And the thing with Fish, too, I was so disappointed because I just drafted him in my fantasy PD draft.
Fish?
I mean, it happens every time, You draft these guys, and then the next day they have an injury.
That's why you were on that one all day, weren't you?
You should wait until the start of the season. Closer to the start of the season, right, Biddle? Right?
Oh, now you got String Bean as your backup. I'm going way back in the day. Back in the day, right. My friends.
So Fish is going to be out a long time.
He's going to be out at least a couple weeks.
Man. Yeah.
Because he's not going to be able to drive.
Right.
Even if he can move around on crutches or a little scooter, how's he going to get in the car and drive himself?
Oh, man.
Somebody can pick him up.
Yeah.
Do we have Waymo's
up
here?
He's going to have me pick him up, isn't he?
Well, you just volunteered. It sounds
you're
like
over
it.
There,
I'll do it.
You're over there by him, aren't
I'll do
you?
It. I'll
Timmy's
do it.
Over there, too, right?
Yeah, yeah, Timmy's over there.
Yeah, he's in my neck of the woods.
If there wasn't a good Samaritan to pick him off the sidewalk, because he fell with the dog while he was walking the dog, and he couldn't get up, and the dog can't, obviously, somebody help my owner. But there was a good Samaritan that stopped.
Thank goodness.
Picked him up, put him in his car, brought him to the hospital. What a nice person.
And he didn't know him at all.
No, not at all.
That was really nice of that guy.
I'm just sitting here thinking
I never
about
would do that.
No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't do it either.
All of the things we're going to need to do to make it like ADA compliant for him when he gets back.
Like, what do we have to do? We're all on the first floor. Everything.
Well, he goes upstairs for meetings.
We have the dumbwaiter.
He's not going to go in that thing.
He can get in the dumbwaiter.
He
can just
work,
use Zoom. He doesn't need to come to the office.
Oh, man. That would be fun, though. We can decorate a Jazzy for him. And
what's a Jazzy?
It's a Rascal.
Oh, okay.
Maybe just Jazzy Rascal, whatever. We can get streamers for the handles and then like a little horn or something like that.
You think the company would pay for that?
I think so. We could get a basket for the front of it. And he could put his, he usually drinks some Gatorade and then his Chicago mixed popcorn. We could do that. Oh, he'd be so excited. Let's plan his welcome back party. And we could also be a bachelor party. And
he's
a wedding
getting married
shower.
In October.
Yeah, we could just knock three things out at once.
I wonder, is he going to be able to walk?
Oh.
Down the aisle and all that?
It's October.
I understand. It'll be here before you know
it. None of us will be there because he's like, I'm not doing that.
Well, I need to back it up a little bit. I know it's the bye week this year.
Yeah.
But if you get married in October, on a Saturday, chances are that's not going to be the bye week most years. So he's going to be the guy that got married on Ohio State football Saturday, where people have to, like, you know, for his anniversary and stuff.
Oh, it's he doesn't have any friends.
Oh, he doesn't.
No, there's not going to be any anniversary stuff.
Oh, okay, never mind.
No.
Sorry.
No, he's not inviting anybody from the radio station, which, by the way, I think is a smart move.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Because he wants to keep it very small.
Yes.
And if you invite a couple people from here, then other people feel left out. You have to invite other people, and then it's just out of hand.
Yeah.
Although there is going to be somebody from the radio station at the wedding.
Who?
I didn't tell you about this?
No.
So, Fish sits me down.
Oh, are you the officiant?
Yes.
Shut up.
I am.
No, you're not.
He sits me down.
Oh,
and
my
he
God.
Says
that's
that
so awesome.
His bride to be, Anna,
yeah.
requested that I officiate the wedding. And my initial response was laughter and then no. Right? But I gave him a, I'll think about it.
No.
And then I went home that night and I was talking to the girls about it. I was talking to Kristen and Samantha about it. And Samantha, my 9-year-old, looks at me and she's very wise for her age. Sometimes. Other times, not so wise. But she looks at me and she says,
Daddy, they want you to be a part of the biggest day of their life.
Oh,
how can you turn that down?
What a big heart.
And I, you're
she's
right.
So
I,
cute.
I can't turn that down. You stupid brat. Thanks for bringing some actual logic and compassion to my decision. And so I volunteered to do it.
Wow.
But now I feel like I got to get ordained.
I was going to say, you got to go online and do that. Because you can't do it the day before. It doesn't count.
How do you get ordained?
Just do it online.
That's the thing online.
Oh, okay.
You've got to do it at least 48 hours
in
advance.
A college degree these days. Just do it online.
Yeah, so I got to do that. I got to pay $49 to get ordained.
Well, that's your gift. You don't have to get them anything else.
Because Fish is taking out a 50 to give to me. And I said, put your money away, you idiot.
Wait, Fish carries cash? And he carries a $50
bill. He carried a 50 because he was driving by Penn State, wanted to get some blow. He needs it now.
Oh, he's going to
some
need,
of the edge
he's
off
gonna
the quad.
Lots of blow.
He has plenty of painkillers he's going to have.
Yeah,
after
but those run out. So does that pain block, that
Man,
nerve
he's
block.
Gonna, he's going to be addicted because he was on painkillers after the
surgery.
The cancer surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's just doing stuff to himself on purpose now to stay on the pain pills.
I just feel really bad for Fish. I mean, I feel worse for Anna because she has to deal with that.
Yeah.
All of that. She's probably like, I just got done wiping his ass. Now I got to do it again.
Exactly.
God bless America.
I don't care how much you love somebody. You wipe their ass. That's a whole new level.
Yes. You know, they make a thing with a... It's a long extended thing with a clip that you can put the toilet paper in and then you yourself can get on in there.
Oh, you can't get good coverage with that. Well, there's no way you can get clean with that.
I bought one for my dad when he had back surgery and he hated it.
Your mom didn't do it?
I don't know what happened there. He just said he hated it. So I just blocked that out of my mind. Also, they've never done the deed. I'm a test tube baby.
They've never been intimate,
Mm-mm.
and your mom certainly did not help wipe your dad's butt.
Correct.
Okay.
Sorry, Mom.
She just bought him a bidet.
Well,
Japanese bidet.
You still need to do a little bit of...
a little bit of stuff.
Can't do the garden hose and call it a day. Jenny, thank you for coming.
I love you guys.
And...
I'll see you next Tuesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jen Winter! She falls down. She craps her pants. She roots for the Steelers upside down. She tells bad jokes and swears on the air. Gets busy in the chat, ping pong cut chair. See you next Tuesday.
Actually, Jen, you may want to stick around for the next segment.
Okay, why?
Because USA Today ranks the top party schools in America.
Ew.
And I have a feeling, though, you're going to be pissed off.
Okay. This is a great tease, and
That's
can't wait.
Coming up next, Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got some slowdown due to an accident that's on southbound 270 on the east outer belt at US 33. And there's about a 10-minute holdup on northbound 71 on the north side between East Broad Street and 11th Avenue. This report is sponsored by Mesilla Valley Transportation. Take the next step in your driving career with Mesilla Valley Transportation. They're hiring CDLA drivers in Grove Fort with competitive pay, consistent opportunities, and dependable home time. Visit driveformbt.com to apply. That's driveformbt.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The Reds are on the Fans' family of stations all season long.
If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you.
Your home of the Reds.
The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Now we stay dry and clear overnight tonight. There may be some patchy fog in areas across central Ohio, but overnight lows in the low to mid-60s on Wednesday. Dry and sunny in the morning, then a 50% chance of rain and storms in the afternoon and evening hours. High temps at just about 80. Some of those showers may linger into the early morning hours of Thursday, then drier in the afternoon and highs at just about 80. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus is the official sportsbook sponsor of Common Man and Timmy. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Remember that funny line from Christmas Vacation?
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Well, these morons keep jamming them down our throats, so they're not funny anymore. Here's Man and Timmy.
Hey, please subscribe to the podcast of This Stupid Show. It's available wherever you get your stupid audio. Just search Common Man and Timmy. Click! Subscribe. Every single show comes right to your device free of charge. Podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. Timmy is out today. Dave Biddle is with me. Jen Winters has stuck around for another segment because I know you have thoughts on this. So,
yes.
USA Today has put together a list of the top 25 party schools in America. They say they have taken the average party school rankings from seven lists, including Niche.com and the Wall Street Journal, because if there's anybody who knows parties,
it's the Wall
Street Journal. Number one customer is over at the Penn State frat houses.
Yes.
Wall Street Journal.
I heard they roll the journal to the Coke.
But I'm gonna tell you right now, okay, that I'm looking at the top 25, and while Ohio is well represented, I was shocked to learn that OU is nowhere on this list.
I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed in them.
You're a proud graduate.
Yes.
Your daughter is there, Dave.
Yes.
Dave, your kid.
Is she part of the problem?
I think she's probably
part of the solution. With her guidance.
They take pride in being
and
like
her friends back from Penn State. They can get back on this list.
I mean, it used to be every time they'd come up with one of these lists, like in the 90s, they'd be like, number one is OU. And they're like, who's number two? Like, them not being in the top 25. I mean, and they take pride in that.
I know they do.
And I know you could go anywhere in the world and be in college and party if you want
to. Back in my day when I was at the OU.
Before the internet?
Right. No, we did have internet then. We had Ethernet.
Yeah, but you had that.
No, we had Ethernet.
You did?
Yes. I was in the first dorm that had Ethernet.
Look at you.
I know. I'm special. No, we rioted. I did not riot. I was a good, clean girl. Because I was at home working at CD 101 at the time on the weekend. But the time change weekend, my classmates decided, you're not going to close early. We're going to riot.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
And so they rioted.
I remember that.
And so I had a friend who was shot multiple times with rubber bullets. He kept one of them. It was a big honker, man. That thing was crazy.
He kept the rubber bullet?
Yeah. He's like this, and it gave him a huge bruise on his shin. And then I had a friend who was suspended for the rest of the quarter because he crossed the street and made fun of the horse that the cop was on arresting him.
Well, the horse is technically an officer.
Yes. And so he got in the horse's face. I mean, he was drunk as a skunk got in the horse's face and, you know, made fun of.
Hey, you can't do that.
No.
All right, I'm going to go down the list for you. Ready?
Is Wisconsin in there?
Well, we're going to get there. Okay. Hold on a second. Start with number 25. Work our way down.
I'm so upset.
Number 25, Ohio State.
Oh.
Ohio State comes in at number 25 on this list.
Bucks.
They need to burn more couches and flip more cars. Continue.
Number 24, Delaware. Okay.
The Blue Hens, the Fighting Joe Flaccos?
That's right.
Wow.
Delaware. Biden started the culture there.
Yes, he did.
Just party hardy.
Those aviators.
Number 23, Dayton. So we got two Ohio schools
Dayton
in the first three
road.
That I've mentioned so far.
I mean, they party. They're the first part of the tournament. So, yes, they have a reason to
the
party.
The ghetto. But they're trying to clean up the ghetto at Dayton. This is where the students live. So I don't know if that's like accurate.
That's
Go
disgusting.
Ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Number 22, Arizona, which makes sense.
That totally checks. Yes.
Number 21, Iowa.
What else is there to do in Iowa but wait for a tornado and corn to grow?
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Number 20, Michigan State. The Midwest is very well represented on this list.
It's not much to do here.
You're not
going to
see like Pepperdine on there, are you?
Number 19 is Howard.
Okay.
All right. And number 18 is Illinois. Again, another fine Big Ten institution.
Fish is proud.
Number 17, Colorado. Number 16, Syracuse.
I've been to both Colorado and Syracuse campuses.
Party hardy?
Everything was closed. It was the middle of the summer.
Okay. Number 15, San Diego State, which also makes sense.
Oh, the Aztecs, yes.
Number 14, Miami.
Oh, wait, you?
The U.
Okay.
Better not be Miami, Ohio.
I thought they'd be.
They also partake in the cocaine.
Yes. I thought they'd be in the top 10 of this list. I'm surprised they're at number 14.
Well, they got work to do.
Yeah. Number 13, Indiana.
Ooh.
Another That's Big because Ten they institution. Won the national championship and they are still partying.
Number 12, Arizona State. So we got Arizona, yeah. Arizona State.
Oh,
on
that's
here.
Where Paige, that's where Lulu went.
Yeah, Tempe. Like that is definitely a party
yeah.
school.
Yeah.
Number 11, Miami, Ohio.
Oh my gosh.
Number
I hate them the most.
11. I know that you would hate
everything.
This.
I think a Miami University grad wrote this story. How else do you explain
Miami.
This?
Miami. I hate them.
Like 90% of
they
the students
are
in Greek or like
preppy.
In fraternities. And yeah, there's no
they're
way Miami's a bigger party school than OU.
With their long bags and their hoity-toityness.
Well, I'm telling you right now, they're number 11 on this list.
I hate them.
Here's the top 10. Ole Miss,
well,
number 10.
Well, I mean, hottie toddy. Come on.
Hottie toddy. Penn State is at number 9.
I mean, they those frats.
By recent news, they should be like at least in the top 5, I
think. They've
got
a great,
roaring good time.
They got the Costco of drug cartels
do.
On
so
campus
so proud
there.
Of them for that.
Number 8, UC Santa Barbara, which makes sense. Very scenic, and I'm sure a lot of rich kids go there. And,
yeah. Wow.
Number 7, USC.
Yeah.
Number 6, West Virginia.
That's where my brother and my sister-in-law
cooking up some
is a
meth
professor
there.
At WVU. Yeah.
Anyway, West Virginia.
Not good for them. There's
number
not much there in Morgantown.
5, Wisconsin.
Ah,
yeah. Number 5.
See?
Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
Number 4, Georgia. Okay. Southern Bells. Putting on dresses.
Now,
what
granted,
up, bitches?
I have a couple of...
That's right.
Up,
that's
bitches.
Where Nicole went.
That's right.
Where did
it begin? I have a couple of like cousins who go there, so yeah.
Number 3, Florida State.
Oh,
I'm sure that's some bragging, by the way, that Florida State is higher on this list than Miami. Yeah,
good for them.
Number 2, Alabama. Again, these Southerns like to party.
You know what? I would gladly trade the SEC for the Big Ten and football superiority. They can have their parties.
Well, we're actually more represented. From a number
True.
Standpoint, number of Big Ten schools on this list.
So who's number one?
I was
going to
say, I'm so curious. Who I can't even guess.
I got no idea.
Tulane. Wow.
Well,
it is New Orleans.
That makes sense. Yeah. Tulane New Orleans.
Okay.
Is number one.
And have you seen any green waves before? They're just waiting for that green wave. I've Same. Never seen a green wave.
You need
wave.
A lot of algae for that.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I mean, if you were to tell me that, you know, this party list... And a school that is primarily
so
green with color would be number one. It's, oh, you made the list again. Top the list. No, it's Tulane. And Ohio University, nowhere to be found.
I'm so disappointed in all of you down there right now. I need you all to do more or
do less.
Do
more.
Do more when it comes to partying. Do less for caring about consequences.
We must see some fraternities get like disbanded.
That's already happened down there.
More of them.
What did you do? What was your big party schedule? Let's say you weren't working on the weekends at CD 101.
I had no part. I never got drunk at OU.
Never?
That's my sad story.
You went to OU.
I know.
And just never once.
I was so focused on being on the radio.
But you know what? You're good and clean. I appreciate that.
I only came home for, I did not come home for midterms or finals. But then after I graduated, whoa, boy. Yeah.
That's when Degenerate Jen came out.
Made up for that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No wild stories from OU at all.
I've got wild stories from my friends who, like, did all sorts of things that were incredibly crazy. And I was the sober sister. I was the one who had a car on campus.
But you know what?
Everyone needs a friend like that. I was their DD. I would pick them up and... Yeah, my whole goal was to graduate early, which I did, and start a career in radio. And then I abandoned that for 20 years. And now here I am.
You always find a way to make me depressed.
Thanks.
Every single time you're here.
That's what I'm here for.
I know.
See you next Tuesday, but I'll be on with you tomorrow at 5. God bless.
That's right. So we'll see you tomorrow. Rapid Fire is coming up next. Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
You're looking at some holdup due to a crash on southbound 270 on the east outer belt at US 33. And there's about a 10-minute holdup on westbound 270 on the north outer belt from 161 to 71. This report is sponsored by your local Root Air Conditioning Pro Partners. Is your house hotter than sitting on a metal bench at your kids' July baseball tournament? Get out with the old and in with the Root this summer. Trust the local pros on a high-efficiency AC system from Root to protect your home plate every time. Find a certified Root Pro Partner at RootColumbus.com. RUUDColumbus.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan.
Fan and Timmy is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. Listen every weekday from 3 to 6. They're good, clean boys. The Fan.
Common Man's wife would rather bang her head up against a wall instead of listening to this show. Timmy's wife is banging
the milkman.
This is Man and Timmy.
This dumb show brought to you by the Hinderer Motor Company. Rapid fire coming up in mere moments. Timmy is out today. Dave Biddle is with me. I have an announcement to make because this has become a talking point around the office here. If you're watching on YouTube, maybe you've seen that over the last 6-7 months or so, I have not gotten a haircut. I've been growing it out. All right?
Looks good.
Takes me a long time to tame this beast in the morning because naturally, I have an extremely curly afro, all right? And nobody really believes how afro-y this hair is. So tomorrow, it's afro day. I'm doing nothing to it. I'm taking a shower. I'm going to towel it off a little bit, let it air dry, and then come in here all natural. So you will see the flowing curly locks. Teddy, you excited about it?
Absolutely.
You going to rub your hands through it?
I might if you let me.
I will.
Okay.
Absolutely. So watch on YouTube tomorrow. You can see me looking ridiculous.
Who's co-hosting with you tomorrow?
It's the trifecta tomorrow. So 3 o'clock hour, it's Nicole Sheeran. 4 o'clock hour, it's good clean boy Tyler Danberg. I'm going to filthy him up for the hour. And then 5 o'clock hour, Jen Winters is back in here. So they will all get a little taste of the fro tomorrow.
Will you let them put their hands in your
hair? Anyone who wants to touch me tomorrow can touch me, in or out of this building. All right, you see me out at the gas station, feel free to caress my hair. Rapid fire time.
Rapid fire.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling. From sump pumps and water heaters to full heating and cooling repair and replacement. The Waterworks tackles it all. Call 614-232-2222.
All right, Teddy, rapid fire number one.
Okay, the Buckeyes, they're ranked number one in both preseason polls. Do you guys agree they should be number one, or do you think a different team should have been ranked number one?
You know, I don't really care about these things, but sure, Buckeyes number one. Why not?
I'm kind of surprised they are number one in both polls, but I agree with it. Like, they are the betting favorites. Like, I think there's like seven teams that could win it all, and I think, you know, Ohio State is the best of those teams, but they're bunched together. So I'm somewhat surprised that they are number one in both, but
who else would you have put there then? Say, if the Buckeyes weren't
I would have bet that Oregon would have been number one in one of the polls, maybe Texas. They've been getting a lot of love. Especially Oregon. A lot of people like Oregon this year. It's a little bit of a lazy argument, in my opinion. They're like, all right, Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana. Now it's Oregon's turn. It's like you said the same thing about Penn State last year. So we'll see. And Oregon losing both coordinators is interesting to me.
Rapid fire number two.
Will the Buckeyes and Oregon be ranked first and second when they face each other in November?
Probably not. I'm not, I don't know, I don't have Oregon's schedule in front of me. But
it's not too bad.
I know the Buckeyes' schedule, and I would be surprised if they're one or two going into that game.
I'm with Common Man 100%. Like, it's obviously a possibility. I'll be very surprised if they're one and two.
Rapid fire number three.
Okay, tell me, what team do you think is the biggest fraud in the AP Top 25 poll?
Well, let me ask you a question with a question. Is Penn State in the top 25?
Yeah.
There's your answer. There's your answer every single year. If Penn State's in the top 25, which they are, at number 18 in the AP, that's my answer every year.
He's not believing in Matt Campbell. I'm going to change the curse of Penn State not winning a game. Yeah, I mean, geez. I don't see like anybody who's like a total fraud, in my opinion. Maybe Utah being 21st. I feel like they're like there because they've kind of like always been around there. Losing Kyle Whittingham, losing a bunch of players to the portal, losing their offensive coordinator. I would go with Utah being the biggest poser.
I think it's a rule. It's actually law that either Utah or BYU has to be in the top 25 at some point, just for representation purposes.
Yes.
They're both in this to start the season. Rapid fire number four.
What team do you think was the most disrespected in the AP Top 25 poll? Maybe they should have been a little higher.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I said this when the coaches poll came out too. The Buckeyes got 40 first place votes, okay, in the AP. The team that got 8 first place votes and won the national championship last year and has a cake schedule and has a veteran quarterback coming in, albeit a new quarterback, but still a veteran quarterback that's played a lot of football, I'm surprised that Indiana wasn't there. They're not even in the top 5. They're number 6.
Definitely. Stole my thunder. I love it, though, because like Indiana being 6th, it almost feels like last year, Mike. We're like, yeah, they were ranked. They're ranked like 20th or something. They're like, yeah, we'll see. It's kind of that same vibe. It's like 6th is obviously way better than 20th, but they are the defending national champion. I would have Indiana in the top 3.
As much as I hate Kurt Cignetti, too, I said this on yesterday's show, I also kind of like him.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's asked, like, hey, would you play Notre Dame? And then they had the game scheduled, but then it was canceled. He's like, yeah, I'd play him. They got to come here twice because they're not in a conference.
Yeah.
I love that line.
Well, they got to come here twice. We'll go there once. Yeah, I know. He loves to talk mess, and he backs it up.
Rapid fire number 5.
All right. Yesterday we were talking to our good friend Jason Stark, and he mentioned one time he was in the bathroom at the same time as Bruce Springsteen. So, have you guys ever been in the bathroom with a very famous person, maybe shared a urinal with?
I don't really think I've...
Or even like a C-celebrity guy. Maybe you're just in there with a, athlete.
I was in there with Dom Tiberi.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Where Dom was having a full-blown conversation on the toilet on his cell phone.
Was that in the building? This building?
Yeah, it was in this building. So then I said... I even did like some coughs to make sure he knew someone else was in there. He didn't care.
Only thing that comes to mind for me is Orlando Pace. He lived 2 doors down from us in the dorms at Morrill Tower at Ohio State. So we'd hang out sometimes. Like he'd come in our suite and our bathroom would have had 2 urinals and 3 toilets, if memory recalls. And so I'll go with Orlando Pace. I can't think of anybody else.
What about you, Teddy? Have you shared the bathroom with anybody famous?
No, I don't think I have. I was thinking, though, I can't remember if it was Timmy or maybe it was T-Bone. Somebody T-Bone's associated wife. With us. No, they were over at Nationwide when Ric Flair was there.
That was T-Bone.
Okay, it's T-Bone. And yeah, everybody...
He went in the bathroom with Ric Flair.
And everybody was giving him the woo!
Right, he's trying to pee, which, for a 70-something-year-old man is a challenge at that age. It's a challenge for me sometimes. And he's just going, woo, woo! It's like, let the man urinate, for God's sake. No, I thought you were going to talk about, because T-Bone's wife was a stalker for Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler in the
from
elevator,
Aerosmith.
Right?
And she followed him into the men's bathroom when he went in there.
That's full stalker material right there.
She snuck into the men's bathroom. I don't know if she saw him at the urinal or snuck a peek or whatever happened.
What do you think that sounded like from Steven Tyler?
I'll tell you what it would sound like. You ready?
Yeah.
That's my Steven Tyler impersonation. It's pretty good, huh, Bids?
I liked
it. That's good, yeah.
I was in an elevator with Steven Tyler when I was a kid, me and my mom.
Nice.
Hotel in Chicago.
I was in an elevator. Chicago. Yeah.
This is probably 1987.
Love in the elevator?
He could have. He could have had my mom.
Yeah.
I'm in an elevator. But he was in full getup, too. Like tassels and just everything. Like you would think, in my mind, I thought, well, these musicians are kind of like actors, right? They put their costume on when they're on the stage, and then they go home and probably have some sort of regular life. It's like, no, not really.
Just Steven Tyler. Not looks Steven like Steven Tyler. Tyler all the time.
Casual Steven Tyler.
That's right. Casual Steven Tyler is the title of my third album. Thank you, Teddy. John Rahm has apparently agreed to a deal that allows him to return to the PGA Tour next year. So Liv, possibly folding, don't know. They're talking about this magic investor who's going to ride in and save everything. Save what? I don't know. Because the story is John Rahm wants out, and he's agreed to something with the PGA Tour. He'll have to earn his way back like Brooks Koepka has, but he's going to be out. Tyrell Hatton apparently is also on his way out. Similar deal with John Rahm. So this magic money guy is going to come in, and he's going to save a league that no one wants and no one watches and also does not have really any marquee golfers anymore. Okay, sounds good to me.
I thought the Saudi government was backing this.
They backed out.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, they said we're losing too much money on this. There's missiles flying over our head. Perhaps this is not the best thing to do right now, back this failing golf venture. So they backed out of that. So they were trying to find someone else to back it. They apparently found some rich guy. We don't know who it is. They're not announcing who that is. Because really, why would you want your name attached to this at all? But John Rahm, Teddy, apparently on the way out. Oh, there's also rumblings because they canceled their season finale in Michigan. They officially did that. So the event in Indianapolis this weekend is going to be their last event. Could be the last event ever for Liv. But I saw that some golfers may not play out of protest because I guess their checks did not clear from the last tournament earlier in the month.
Don't let them live.
No.
Don't let them live.
I wonder if Paul Heyman was running that checkbook.
You know what? Two people got that joke, but I appreciate it.
I knew you would like it.
Thank you, Teddy.
Nobody else got it.
I got it. Let's examine Buckeye position groups with Dave Biddle. I mean, Dave's here. We've sullied him. We've smuddied him up the first couple hours of the show, and now he's going to lay some Buckeye knowledge on him, on us, coming up next. Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got some slower traffic on northbound 270 on the West Outer Belt from Tuttle Crossing Boulevard to 161. And there's a couple-minute holdup on westbound 70 downtown between the 71 East Split and Livingston Avenue. This report is sponsored by NJM Insurance. If you dread dealing with your insurance more than you dread build-it-yourself furniture with extremely vague instructions, what are these hieroglyphics? Then you might have insuranoia. You should have NJM Insurance. They go to great lengths to do what's best for their policyholders. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey kids, if you don't buckle down in school and do something productive with your free time, this is your future.
You guys ready to play like big boys yet, huh? Maybe pick out your own outfits in the morning?
Listening to Common Man and Timmy.
I want to talk to you about my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. You know what ED is? Ed, erectile dysfunction. It's not good. All right, mess you up. Maybe you're self-conscious about it. Maybe you're saying, I don't know where to go. I'm going to send you to the place to go. It's Tri-State Men's Health. Get off of Instagram. Don't go looking at ads on there and big-breasted women trying to sell you stuff that you chew on. That's stupid. All right? Instead, go to where... Here's what I say. I never trust a skinny chef. When I see a chef on TV who's really skinny and they're telling me how good something tastes, I'm thinking, of course it tastes good to you. You're skinny. When you're skinny, you don't eat. Everything tastes good. All right? I want a real fat chef. A guy who eats all the time. And then when he tells me something good, I believe him because he's fat. All right? So when you walk into Tri-State Men's Health, everyone has huge erections. All right? I'm going somewhere with this story. Anyway, don't trust your ED with someone who doesn't have a huge erection. And they have them at Tri-State Men's Health. See where I'm going, Biddle?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Genius.
I want you to call them today. 800-900-9654 or visit
tristatemenshealth.com. Dave Biddle is here. Timmy is out. And since you're here, Dave, let's get knee deep into some football previews, shall we? I sort of want to go position by position and give me a casual breakdown and tell me how confident you are in each of these units as we enter the season. And again, this is the number one team in the country in both polls, so we're going to have some pretty good scores, I'm sure, on here. Let's do 1 to 5. 5 being you are ultra confident. It's a group full of studs. 1 being Jaden Fielding confidence level hitting any length field goal. Okay? Meaning not confident at all.
Got it.
Let's start with the unit that's actually on paper the most experienced unit in college football, and that's the offensive line.
I will go with a 4, and I know the way the season ended last year, but as you mentioned, 91 career starts coming back on that offensive line. I'm bullish on them, and word is Austin Sarveld was able to return to practice. I was concerned about that. I know they were saying it was minor, and it was, obviously, but it's been one minor injury after another since the end of the season with him, and I think he's the best offensive lineman on the team. But I love the big three with Sarveld and Montgomery and Hensman. Phillip Daniels even has 18 starts under his belt now. I think Ian Moore's going to take over at left tackle. I like some of the depth there with like Josh Padilla and others. I'll give him a 4.
Right side of that offensive line last year at times had a lot of problems. Unfortunately, in games that we really needed them to be great in, they were not great in. But I'm like you. I'm confident in the skill set that's coming back. I know they've had an entire offseason to work on who exactly is going to go where. And I have faith that Ryan Day fixed the problem. Let's go quarterback now. All right. Now, this is easy. You can say 5 automatically. But again, when we needed excellent quarterback play, we didn't necessarily get it. Julian Sayin put up big numbers, had a terrific first year as a starter, was sitting in New York, not a lot of complaints. But when the lights were on late in the season, he wasn't very good. The offense in general wasn't very good. Not just his fault. But we've heard this offseason. He's really found his voice. Lots of people have said that. Ryan Day has said that. His teammates have said that. So where do you rank the quarterback position going into the season?
I give it a 5. I agree with everything you said there. You could easily give it a 4. But I believe in Julian Sayin. The fact that he was a Heisman finalist as a redshirt freshman, which isn't even a term anymore, but he was a redshirt freshman last year. Now they're just freshmen. The Verve pipe, right? They're only freshmen.
That's
they're
right.
merely freshmen. There's no redshirt freshman or true freshman anymore. They're just freshmen. I think he's going to be better than he was last year, and he was good as a redshirt freshman. And, yeah, the fact that he's bulked up a little bit and he's taken more of a leadership role, I believe in him a lot. And, like, then you're thinking Tavian St. Clair is definitely going to be the backup. That's a good situation. Or maybe Luke Fahey is going to be the backup. That's one I did not see coming, Mike. And I knew Luke Fahey was a very productive high school quarterback at a powerhouse program, Mission Viejo in California. He would have been a 5-star if he was like maybe 3 inches taller. He's 5'11". He's given Tavian St. Clair a run for his money. I think ultimately that's a good thing for Ohio State to have competition for the backup job, but I give the quarterback room a 5.
You know, we talked earlier in the show about how Ryan Day, sometimes shockingly, the coaches like to use the media to send messages. We saw that maybe with Bo Jackson earlier in the offseason. Do you think that's happening with Tavian St. Clair right now?
I do. I think that's part of it. I also, because it would have been very easy for Ryan Day to not come out there and say anything on Saturday. The scrimmage was closed. We saw 3 practices, maybe the first 3 practices.
Right. We wouldn't have known.
We wouldn't have known at all. And like for him to come out and say that was very notable. I think it's 2 things. I think he didn't want to like disrespect Luke Fahey by not like telling the media this kid's balling out. And definitely, Mike, I think he's trying to like motivate Tavian St. Clair just like he was probably with Bo Jackson.
Well, let's go to that running back room, because Bo Jackson, true freshman last year, ran for over 1,000 yards, and there's depth behind him. How confident are you in that group?
I'll go 4 out of 5. I am confident in them. I can't give them a 5. I definitely wouldn't give them a 3. If I was cheating, I might go 4.5, but we're not cheating. I'll give him a 4. I think Bo Jackson was really good as a freshman last year. He's going to be, in theory, Mike, better as a second-year player. I thought Isaiah West was solid as a freshman. He's going to be better. He's had a tremendous offseason. I think Jacoby Jackson, as we were talking earlier, is going to be an upgrade over what they had with C.J. Donaldson last year. The transfer that comes in is supposed to be like the goal line back or somebody that can help you there. I think he's going to be, and from all accounts, Jacoby Jackson has impressed the coaching staff very much. And then Legend Bay, as a freshman. I mean, he's going to add some explosive elements to this team. And Ryan Day can't talk about the running back room or the offense without at least mentioning Legend Bay a little bit. So I'm giving them a four, but I'm bullish on that room.
Wide receivers, we're in the golden age of the wide receiver here at Ohio State. And even though Brian Hartline is left, when you look at who's coming in here, who's committed to come here, it doesn't look like that's going to slow down anytime soon. You do, of course, lose talent on this team to the NFL and Carnell Tate. But where do you think we are from a confidence standpoint with the wide receiver room?
I would go definite five on this one with Jeremiah Smith. Probably going to go down as the best receiver to ever come through Ohio State, which is saying a massive amount when you're talking about guys like Chris Carter and others. And the depth is way better than I thought it would be, Mike. I mean, Devin McCune was a really good get in the portal. And I watched this film at UT San Antonio. I'm like, yeah, he does look really, but it's UT San Antonio, right? How's this going to translate to Ohio State? He balled out in the spring and he's been like doing really well in camp. He's probably going to be the number two receiver. I think Brandon Ennis is going to be good as well. So there's going to be your top three. What about Chris Henry Jr.? Chris Henry Jr. is going to play a lot. Other than Jeremiah Smith, all these stud receivers that have come through here as true freshmen, not a lot of them played like big snaps. Like, you know, Carnell Tate, for example, in 2023, caught 18 balls that year. This guy was the number four pick of the draft, right, the first receiver off the board. So I still think Chris Henry Jr. is going to have a place in this offense, but so will Brock Boyd, so will Kyle Parker. They're very deep. Jeremiah Smith turned heads at Media Days in Chicago, and he was like, this is the deepest wide receiver room we've had since I've been at Ohio State. People are like, what? You lost two guys to Notre Dame through the portal. You lost another guy to Washington. You had the first receiver off the board in the NFL draft. This is the deepest room you've had. I agree with him. Like, I
that's quite the statement, too.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're like 2 through 8. So Jeremiah's 1, 2 through 8. I think they got a good room.
All right, we're going to do defense and coaching staff confidence rankings coming up with Dave Biddle next. Colin Mann and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got a couple-minute delay on westbound 670 from 71 to Neal Avenue and a five-minute holdup if you're on southbound 315 from 3rd Avenue to Town Street. This report is sponsored by COTA. Beat the heat this summer on COTA's cool, comfortable rides. Just tap your phone or card to hop on and show up refreshed while others sweat it out in traffic. Plan your ride at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Beat the heat this summer on COTA's cool, comfortable rides. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Listing live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. This is Paul Keels. Baseball tonight, Cleveland Guardians at home following an off day hosting San Francisco. Guardians going to play 5.5 back in the American League Central, one game back in the wild card. After splitting a doubleheader yesterday, Cincinnati Reds will continue their series at home tonight with the St. Louis Cardinals. It's Diamond Dog Night at Huntington Park. Clippers beginning a series against St. Paul. Ohio State running back Bo Jackson today named to the preseason watch list for the Doak Walker Award. Jackson was one of three freshman running backs last season to rush for over 1,000 yards. New York Giants today signed veteran free agent running back Najee Harris, and the Atlanta Falcons signed three-time Pro Bowl edge rusher Darius Smith out of retirement. This update brought to you by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kosick at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer today. 614-470-2000. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
There's a greater than 0% chance Common Man gets fired before this show is over. You're listening to Man and Timmy.
Dave Biddle is with me today. Timmy is out. We'll do some Mikey time / Timmy time at 5:30. The subject of my segment today is, what did I get for Christmas 6 years ago? Yes, I worked really hard on this one. But we are here working hard trying to educate you on the Buckeye football team. Ranked number one in both the AP and the coaches to start the season. We're going position group by position group. And just really, I want to take your temperature, Biddle, about your confidence each position group. I did forget, we talked about offensive line, we talked about receivers, but shame on me, I forgot the tight ends. So what do you think about the tight ends?
I'll give them a three. I mean, you're losing a second round pick in Max Clair, a third round pick in Will Kaczmarek. They've never lost two tight ends within the first three rounds of the draft ever. And I think this could turn into a four very easily, Mike, but I need to see it first. I thought Nate Roberts would be the surefire starter, and he probably will be. But like when Urban Meyer, when Brian Day was asked about it on Saturday, he kind of gave a I don't know, not a very glowing review of the tight ends. Almost like, we'll see. There's nobody that's really stepped up to be like the main guy, which I thought that would be Nate Roberts. And again, I still think it will be. They've got good depth there. They brought in Mason Williams from Ohio University and Hunter Welsing, the seventh-year senior from Northwestern. They have Bennett Christian coming back for fifth year. So I think it's a solid room. I just need to see it first before I give it a four. I'll give them a three.
All right. Before we get to defense, I want to talk about coaching, specifically the coordinator positions. Matt Patricia comes in last year and had a fantastic first year. He is taking over a defense that has, on paper, far less weapons on it because you lose a lot of talent to the draft. And you have Arthur Smith coming in, and he has been an NFL guy. He will presumably have Ryan Day's trust to manage the game and run the offense, perhaps something that Brian Hartline did not have last season. So give me a 1 to 5 confidence grade on the coaching staff as a whole.
I go 5. I keep saying, Mike, that this is the best, and we'll see. I mean, the great thing about sports is we'll find out, right? We all can have our opinions. We're going to find out. I even going back to my time just growing up and watching Ohio State, I think this is the best coaching staff I've seen top to bottom. When you have, and it's not just because both coordinators are former NFL head coaches, which has never happened before in college football, might never again, but that's part of it. I mean, we saw with Matt Patricia, there were some people who were like a little skeptical when Patricia came in last year, talking about things like, well, he wasn't a good head coach with the Lions. Okay. How was Nick Saban as a head coach with the Dolphins? How was Steve Spurrier as a head coach with the Redskins at the time? How was Urban Meyer as a head coach with the Jags? So I always take that with a grain of salt, how guys do in the NFL. And he wasn't coming here as head coach. He's coming here as defensive coordinator. Knocked it out of the park. I think Arthur Smith will be similar. Will he be as good as Matt Patricia? We'll see. But Mike, I think that's going to be a massive upgrade over Brian Hartline. I just do. And I think a lot of things he's already talked about, you got to mix up the tempo. You got to mix up the cadence. After the quarterfinal in the playoffs last year, he had Miami players saying, we knew their cadence. We knew they were going to work the clock down all the way to one or two. We were able to tee off. And I think Arthur Smith is going to help the offensive line. I think he's going to help the offense as a whole. He is a former offensive lineman himself at North Carolina. Mike, I won't be surprised if he's the head coach at North Carolina this time next year, because I think this is last year Bill Belichick broke into the coaching profession as an offensive line coach. I think Arthur Smith is going to have a big impact on this team. Give me an A for the coaching, or give me a 5 for the coaching staff.
I think you'll agree with me that I don't think at any point last year Ryan Day felt like he could let go of the offense and truly be the captain of the ship that he wanted to be on game days. I think he was too focused on supervising and making sure that unit was working properly. I don't think we're going to have that problem this year. Obviously, he's an offensive guy. It's his game plan and his vision for what he wants to see out there. But on game days, I want him to focus on the entire entity, not specifically just calling plays.
Yeah, be the CEO, be the head coach. As he said, all the things you have to do now that you didn't have to do as a head coach, like much, you know, even five years ago. Yeah, and it worked out so well 2 years ago. Doesn't mean it's going to work out that well this year. He was able to take a mini step back 2 years ago with Chip Kelly here as offensive coordinator. And like you articulated, Mike, he's always going to be heavily involved in the offense. Like, he's not heavily involved in the defense.
And we want him to be. That's why he got the job.
Exactly. But yeah, I think, you know, again, it's very almost lazy to say it worked 2 years ago, so it's going to work this year. I do think we're going to see a massive improvement on the offense.
All right, let's go defense. We'll start defensive line. Larry Johnson's still kicking. I don't know if I would have had that on my bingo card a couple years ago, just all the stuff I heard behind the scenes, but he's there. He's actually recruiting very well now at this point in his career. And what do you think about the defensive line?
Unlike me, Larry Johnson seems to get younger every time I see him. He probably looks at me and he's like, you look older every time I see you. I'm like, I know. He does. He looks great. And I give the D-line a 4. Again, if I was cheating, I might go 4.5. Phil Steele ranks them as the number one defensive line in the country, despite the fact they have one starter coming back on the D-line, that being Kenyatta Jackson Jr. I can't get there. I don't think they're a 5. I hope I'm wrong, but I think they're a solid 4. Kenyatta Jackson at defensive end. Then they've got some good depth opposite him. I think Bo Atkinson's going to be the starter, but you have Quay Rousseau, you got Zion Grady, Kari Wilde are all going to play at defensive end. I like the depth at D-tackle. You don't have a stud like you had last year. I mean, Cade McDonald was a first-team All-American and was the Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year and was a unanimous All-American. I don't think they have that star power, Mike, but I like the depth there with, like, James Smith, the guy they brought in from Alabama, along with Quay Rousseau, the defensive end. Those guys have been tights for many, many years. They grew up together. Will Smith Jr. stepping up now in his fourth year at Ohio State. I like what I'm hearing at John Walker from, he transferred in from Central Florida. Jason Moore stepping up. And then the biggest name on the defensive line, a guy I think that's going to have a breakout year, is Edrick Houston Jr. He was a former five-star, came in as a D-end, moved to D-tackle during the national championship season and played a decent amount for a freshman. And then last year was supposed to be a starter, got banged up. Tywon Malone ended up being the starter there at the three tech. I think Edrick Houston, if he can be like a, let's not go crazy. If he can be a second team All Big Ten player, I think that's going to like bring the defensive line together. So I like the depth on this defensive line. I might lack star power, but I'll give them a four.
Let's talk about linebackers. Ryan Day on Saturday went out of his way to talk about how pleased he is with that linebacker room. Laurinaitis is always pleased with everything. So give me your read on the linebackers.
It's crazy, isn't it? They lose two top seven picks from the linebacker room, which has never happened at Ohio State before. They've had two linebackers go in the same like first round before, but never two in the top 10, let alone two in the top seven. Are they going to be better? No. Are they going to be as good? No. They're still going to be really good, I do believe. I'm going to give them a four, Mike. Peyton Pierce and Christian Allegro are probably going to be the main guys, but Riley Pettijohn and TJ Alford are going to play a lot. Those are both second-year guys that they love over there. So those are going to be the top four guys, and then they've got a freshman named Sincere Johnson, who I don't think is going to play a lot. It's about time they got somebody from Cleveland Glenville that looks like a good football player, Sincere Johnson. And they have other guys, too, like Garrett Stover. So will they be as good as they were last year? No, that'd be highly disrespectful to Arvell Reese and Sonny Styles, but I still think they'll be very good. I give them a four.
DBs. I mean, we're talking about more loss of talent there. And this, look, that means you were good the year before. Arguably the best defense that Ohio State fans have ever seen, on paper, at least. You had a guy like Caleb Downs last year who everybody talked about was like having a coach on the field. Not only did he have great instincts and great talent, he brought that leadership out on that field. So he's not there. Give me the DB ranking.
I'm being boring here on defense. I'm going to give you your third straight four. I went four for the D-line, four for the linebackers. I'm going four for the defensive backs. But I just am trying to be real. Like, I definitely wouldn't give them a three. I can't give them a five yet. I think a five is more possible than a three, more likely. But you're losing three of the five starters, including Lorenzo Styles Jr. at nickel. And you know, Davis and Igbinosin was okay his first couple of years at Ohio State.
He had a good year last year.
And he was a second-round pick like that. You know, and then obviously Caleb Downs, as you mentioned, Mike. I give them a solid four. I do like, and they did a really good job in the portal, getting guys like Earl Little Jr. and Terry Moore. They got corner Dominic Kelly from Georgia, and I was completely wrong about this. I'm like, okay, that's an intriguing guy. Probably a depth piece this year, maybe in future years, Dominic Kelly can get in the mix. No. If he doesn't start, he's going to play a decent amount this year, number 24. They've got a true freshman, Jay Timmons, who's been running with the ones at nickel. You get Jermaine Matthews back. Devin Sanchez is absolutely one of the candidates to be a breakout player on this team, much like Edrick Houston. I think Jalen McClain is a stud. I can't give him a five when you lose that much, especially Caleb Downs, but I will give them a four.
Maybe the weakest unit, not maybe, the weakest unit on this team last year and for several years has been special teams. So let's talk about it.
Let's go three. Maybe I'm being like optimistic. We were out there to practice. I think Connor Hawkins missed like one field goal and people are freaking out. It's like, calm down. Like he was really good at Baylor last year. He was a redshirt freshman last year. Had a couple of game winning kicks, made a 54 yarder. I think he's going to be an upgrade over Jaden Fielding. It's hard to say. We saw three practices. They say he had a good scrimmage, so that's good. I also think Ohio State should not be one of these teams that's like, we're just going to fair catch the punt. We're so good on offense. We just don't want to risk a turnover. How about try to like be like Ted Ginn and return the kick for a touchdown?
Maybe not. Yes, try to be like Ted. Yeah, you know what I mean? He's also perhaps the greatest returner we've ever seen.
Yeah, maybe that's a stretch a little bit. But you know what I mean? Like, there's been years where all we want to do is catch the ball. Like, no. Like, you're Ohio State. You should be trying to be the best in everything. So, I don't know, man. I mean, they did bring a special teams coordinator in, which I like. Stolen from Illinois. Robbie Disher. So, we'll see. I'll give him a three for now.
People are focused on, Timmy says, I want a guy who can boom a 54 yard field goal, which you were talking about. And that's great. I would rather just have someone who can consistently hit me a 35 yard field goal.
You want Jim Breach. Am I showing my age? You're at least like, I shouldn't say you're near my age or not, but like, yeah, Jim Breach, for those who don't know, former Bengals kicker. Could he kick a 40 yarder? No, it'd probably be 5 yards short. 35 and in, automatic.
I'll take it.
I'll take it too.
So will Ryan Day.
Tom Brady wants to tell you what it's like. Details coming up next. Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got about a 20-minute holdup due to a crash blocking the left lane on westbound 70 on the west side at 670. Things are moving slow from Central Avenue. And there's a 5-minute holdup on eastbound 33 between 270 and Gender Road. This report is sponsored by Speedway. Your day deserves a bit of spice. And the new hottest fire chicken sandwich from Speedway is just $4.99. Can you handle the heat? Try it for yourself at Speedway. Valid through 825-26. Participating stores only. Visit store for terms. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan.
The Fan have never been larger. T-Bone is large. Tybus is getting large. Get large with them. T-Bone and Tybus.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
Your home for large people and larger personalities. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Our next chance of rain arrives on Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday night, but tonight, dry and mainly clear, some areas of fog, low temps in the low to mid-60s. On Wednesday, dry, sunny early, 50% chance of rain and storms in the afternoon and evening hours, high temps at just about 80, looking at just about 80 on Thursday, maybe some showers early, then drier in the afternoon. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus is the official sportsbook sponsor of Common Man and Timmy. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Please take note of this warning.
This show will mess you up. You're listening to Common Man and Timmy.
Timmy's out today. Dave Biddle is with me. Lions coach Dan Campbell says head coaches should get to have monitors they walk around with. They can see the game better. Says the assistants up in the booth, they can see it, but the head coach has got to watch the video screen just like everybody else in the stadium. Do you think, Dave, that we'll get to a point where they have little monitors or maybe someone that's just with them? You know how, you know, Deion Sanders had someone just next to him, just in case, right? Just follow him around. And remember, Jerry Kill would have someone next to him, too, just in case he's seized out on the sidelines. But do you think that maybe coaches will have someone just at the ready, ready to show them the monitor if need be?
I do think so. And when I saw the story today, I was kind of like, I never thought about this before. But I've always said, like, it's hard to see anything from field level in a football
right,
game.
Exactly.
And you can see it really well from the press box. Even if you're at Ohio State, which you're basically on the moon if you're in the press box, you can still see like the field better. And that's why I think coordinators should be in the box. But yeah, Mike, I mean, to answer your question, I do think we're going to see that. Because right now, I mean, as he's saying, as Dan Campbell's saying, you can look up at the scoreboard. Why not let the head coaches have a monitor so they can see what's going on?
Tom Brady wants to make preseason football great again. I don't know when it was great, but apparently it was. He said, preseason, regular season, I never wanted to be taken off the field. Practice makes perfect. Too many people looking for easy ways out these days. When you're a football player and it's football season, your job is to play football. So he wants to see the starters and the stars playing deep into preseason games. Your thoughts?
It's like a little bit of the Michael Jordan attitude. You know, he went to France that year, 97-98, before the 97-98 season, and he's like, I'm gonna, and he played like it was his last game. But football's different, man. Like, and I get what Brady's saying, I respect it, but I saw Joe Burrow almost get killed the other night.
Yeah,
when our guy Orlando Brown Jr. left tackle gives up like an uncontested sack to an undrafted free agent. That was awesome. Rookie. I disagree with Tom Brady there.
These guys are playing an extra game in the regular season. We're going to play an extra game, too. I mean, they're going to get to an 18-game schedule. It's just going to happen. Back in the day, because people are pointing out this highlight of Tom Brady throwing a touchdown pass to Randy Moss with like 7 minutes left in the third quarter of a preseason game. It was like, yeah, that was when it was great. It's like, yeah, that was the third preseason game. They always treated it as a dress rehearsal. I'm guessing that if we go back to that year, Tom Brady and Randy Moss didn't log a lot of time in preseason game number 1, 2, or 4. You just happen to focus on that third one dress rehearsal. But I do find it funny sometimes when athletes I consider to be pretty modern athletes take this transition to back in my day. I remember, was it just this year, Teddy, where Barry Bonds came out and said, back in my day, you could throw inside at a guy and hit him. And it's like, you're the guy that wore 19 pounds of armor to the plate, right? And you're going to talk about back in my day? What the hell are we talking about? I think something happens when you retire. You instantly become like Gran Torino Clint Eastwood.
No doubt about it. Back in my day, we used the cream and the clear from Balco.
That's right. We did it the hard way back in my day. Steroids and armor.
There you go.
I don't get it, man. Something else I don't get. Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. Dan Orlovsky, who is, I think, known more for his quirks than his actual football prowess at this point, has said that he loves, first of all, he hates cake. Right? Doesn't like cake.
Well, he likes ice cream cake.
Ice cream cake.
But he doesn't like, he says regular cake is gross.
Normal cake is gross. And so his birthday was just recently, or yesterday, I don't know, turned 43 today. And he loves grilled chicken. I got no problem. I love a grilled chicken.
Yes.
I got no problem with it. But he just loves like breasts with no seasoning on it. No salt, no pepper, just plain grilled chicken. And they surprised him by bringing him out some cold grilled chicken with no seasoning on it. And he said, it's good. I don't understand why people hate. And he sat there and ate the entire plate of unseasoned, dry, cold chicken.
And no salt either.
No salt. Right?
No salt.
No,
like,
no,
I can
no,
get down
no
with
salt.
Just the salt. Because, like, you know, you get like those chicken tenderloins and put them in the oven. You don't have to do anything to them. They're still really good fresh out of the oven. But I got to put a little salt on there.
Well, that's because you're a human being. Everybody puts salt on their protein normally. All right. But he didn't want any salt on it. What is the weirdest thing? If you could say this, this is my weird thing that I eat, Dave Biddle. What would it be?
Jeez, that's a good one.
Or a combination that only you find attractive.
Oh man, does beef jerky count? Is that weird?
You're a beef jerky aficionado?
I like it. It's not like my favorite thing. I'm trying to think of something that's even more like funny than that though. I'm basically like your average American. My weirdest thing is I'm like too picky, like about like other food. Like I'm trying to think of anything that's like really weird about me.
Well, we have some weird ones in broadcasting. Al Michaels, who's in his 80s, all right, likes to claim that he's never eaten vegetables. All right.
Never?
No, he says he's maybe when he was a kid, he was force-fed some vegetables. I have no idea. But he says ever since he started making the call as an adult, he has never eaten a vegetable. This is a man who goes to steakhouses every single night of the week and has a big piece of red meat, no vegetables.
Go protein. And he's in his 80s?
He's in his 80s.
Yeah, still working.
We can argue about how good he is, but yes.
Still mailing it
still,
in.
Still working.
You know, the one thing that I think would shock you about me is when it comes to food, I love growing tomatoes. When my friends hear that about me that don't know, they're like, what?
Why?
I don't like anything else. Like, I don't plant anything. I don't like, I'm not like a gardener.
I have love peppers growing and tomatoes. Herbs and
there you go.
I'll trade you some peppers and herbs for some Dave Biddle tomatoes.
You're a fully Sicilian, so I would be surprised if you didn't. But yeah, my friends are all like, you like growing tomatoes? I'm like, I love it.
Do you talk to the tomato plants? Sometimes I talk to my herbs.
Oh, I probably have. Yeah.
And I don't even realize I'm doing it. Like, I'll be out there and Samantha will come out and I'll be like, well, good morning, Mr. Oregano. And I don't know why they have genders. Like, the oregano is male, but yet the basil is female. I have no idea why I assign genders to the plants. But then my daughter would be like, what are you doing? Are you talking to the plants? And I realize that if it's weird for a 9-year-old, it's really weird because she talks and, you know, her dolls come to life at night. She has no problem doing that.
Yeah, talk to the tomato plants. They're alive. They want to hear some encouragement. Like, you're looking good this morning, tomato plant.
That's exactly right.
You're looking a little more.
Ooh, you look juicy.
Yes.
You're looking nice and ripe there.
Voluptuous.
I have some ghost peppers that I'm growing and some habanero peppers. And so far, they haven't turned yet. I need the habanero peppers to turn orange. And so the other day, I'm out there. I'm like, ooh, you still starting to turn a little orange, but you're not there yet, are you, Mr. Habanero? Again, male for habanero, right? But the Thai chili peppers that I grow next to it. Female.
It's not habanera. Of course it's Mr.
It's habanero.
Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
Yes.
Bro. your kids are how old?
18 and 16.
Okay, 18 and 16. Do they bra you like I get broad by my 9-year-old?
Like, well, they're just wearing a bra?
No. Not what are you talking? Broad. Bruh. When she says to me, bruh.
I was like, I
what are you doing?
Going with
bruh.
Like, they Yeah, they'll call me, like, when my daughters call me, like, dude or bro, I don't get a lot of bra. I get a lot of, like, bro. I'm like,
okay.
I
get the bra.
I saw that, you know, I mean, come on. Don't call me bro.
But then again, I started thinking about it. Like, I call everybody dude.
I do, too.
You know, that was just sort of the thing when I was growing up. Their thing is bro or bra. Are we going to have a whole generation of kids just like us? You know, when they're in their 40s and 50s calling everybody brah, it's like, oh, you're calling people dude, you're old. You're a boomer.
Big unk energy calling everybody dude. Unk.
We're going to do some Mikey time coming up next. Normally it's Timmy time, but I got a little quiz for you and for Teddy. And the question is, well, you know what? I'm not going to spoil it for you. 2 minutes. Common Man and Timmy on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
Things are a little slow on southbound 270 on the East Outer Belt between Morse Road and 670. And there's about a 5-minute holdup on westbound 670 going from Leonard Avenue to Neal Avenue. This report is sponsored by AAA Tire and Auto Service. Prepare for the cooler weather ahead at your local AAA Tire and Auto Service. Their fall maintenance package includes an oil change, tire rotation, windshield wiper replacement, and more. For just $119.99. Offer valid through August 31st. See store for details. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Man and Timmy is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. Listen every weekday from 3 to 6. They're good, clean boys. The Fan.
Common Man uses his droopy sack for a bath mat.
Santa's not the only one with a big red sack full of goodies.
You're listening to Man and Timmy.
Tomorrow on the show, doing the trifecta, I got Nicole Sheeran for the first hour, good clean boy Tyler Danberg for the 4 o'clock hour, and Jen Winters at 5. And I have given in to pressure here at the radio station. I've agreed to come in with full afro tomorrow and not do anything to my hair. My hair is curly, especially as it's been growing out. It's curlier. But when I don't put any product in it or touch it or comb it out, because here's the process now, Dave. Dave Biddle's with me. Here's what I do. Because I know you asked, right? So get out of the shower, quick little towel dry, so it's wet, damp-ish. Then I take a comb and I comb it straight back. I look like Eddie Munster while it's still wet. Comb it straight back. Then the rosemary oil goes in. Massage, scalp, make it look all nice. And then after that, put a little product in there. Sometimes it's a clay. Sometimes it's cream. Clear the cream like Barry Bonds. Whatever. We play with that. We sculpt it. We get it to where we want it to be. And it's a process. But tomorrow, taking a shower, getting out, letting it air dry, not touching it. No comb, no nothing. And you will see full on the fro that I have going on. Make sure to check it out on YouTube tomorrow.
I know exactly what I'm doing at 3 o'clock tomorrow, Teddy. Pulling up the YouTube.
Absolutely.
And seeing the fro. He's 6'5", he's 6'9", with the afro.
Fletch. Yeah, that's right. That's a Fletch. Good job. You ready for some Mikey time?
Yes, sir.
All right.
It's Mikey time. Mikey is a man who hosts the show. It manages to both suck and blow. Sometimes Mikey likes to yell and scream. He stuffs his face with Krispy Kreme. The blue jackets make him want to die. Listen to a show and he'll make you cry.
Chips are very tasteless and tacky. He has a disgustingly large sacky.
I feel the need, you know, when they say no animals were harmed in the making of this. No children were actually made to sing that song. That's all AI.
I just figured that was your daughter.
Nope, wouldn't make her do that. That's child abuse. I came across this today. I was cleaning out some crap on the computer. I can't save anything else on the computer. I got too many files. I got to clean out files. And this is from 2020, December 28th, 2020. And the backstory is my family is terrible at getting Christmas gifts for me. Just awful. And I came across this little game that we played right after Christmas in 2020. Real or fake Christmas gift that I got that year. All right. I chuckled when I saw this and had to bring it to you. So you and Teddy answer this. Did I get a nice French pot for braising delicious meats or a walkie-talkie? Which one did I get for Christmas in 2020?
Seems ridiculous, doesn't it, Dave? But what do you think?
I'm going with the former. I'm going with the French.
The pot?
Yeah.
No, because as a person who likes to cook, that would actually be a nice gift.
Yes, that's what it should be.
Instead, I got the walkie-talkie. And when I opened it, the only thing I got from the person who gave it to me is, you know, because you're on the radio. Yes, I am. And
that's exactly what it's like.
Thanks a lot.
We're just there with walkie-talkies. 10-4.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy, I'm down to one challenge, so you got to carry us now.
All right, crazy. Next up, did I get a box of microwave popcorn or something you spray in the toilet so your poo doesn't smell? Which one did I get?
It's got to be the poo smell, right? Something for that, or
Dave? What do you think?
I'm agreeing with Teddy.
Well, this is a little bit of a trick. Because I got both of them. I got a box of microwave popcorn and the poo spray.
After
thing.
You eat the popcorn, you're going to need the poo spray.
That's right. Did I get a nice bottle of bourbon or a cookbook?
Well, both of those seem fine gifts, though.
They are fine gifts.
Yeah. I was thinking bourbon.
Maybe maybe Bo got him some bourbon that year.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to know who's giving the gift.
No.
Yeah. Right? It was a cookbook.
I got the cookbook.
It was a cookbook.
Yeah. A Trisha Yearwood cookbook.
Signed by Garth Brooks.
Did I get new socks or a Cincinnati Reds cufflink set?
That's way too random. Now, that he's very talented, so he could be just throwing us off the scent here. I'm going Cincinnati Reds. Yeah, what do you think?
I agree.
That is correct.
that was oddly specific.
Now the question is, am I a Reds fan?
You like baseball?
I hope not. No, I'm not.
Typically, I'd be like, why not? You're a White Sox fan. You're like, how about this year, though? How's it looking?
Well, they just, you like baseball? And here you go. Here's some Cincinnati Reds cufflinks.
You live in Ohio, right?
Yeah. Did I get a tub of atomic fireballs or lotto tickets?
I was thinking maybe both items, but I know he's had the atomic fireballs because he's had them here at the office.
He just buys them for himself,
though. He could have, yeah.
Has them in his pockets, usually.
I mean, both are great gifts.
Not bad.
I love both those gifts.
Probably lotto tickets. That's kind of been a trend.
Okay.
No.
I'm terrible at this. All right.
Now, when I was a teenager, my grandfather would give me lotto tickets. But this particular year, I was given a tub of atomic fireballs. Grandpa dead. Oh. Grandpa dead. If he were alive, he'd give me lotto tickets, and I never won anything.
And you'd buy Fireball if you won the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Scratch-offs, great.
Did I get a subscription to a streaming service or Star Wars on DVD?
Yeah, Star Wars on DVD. I'm all over this one.
Now.
I'm not going to disagree with Ted's that confident. Mike looks at me like, you don't want to disagree with me.
Much like the Cincinnati Reds. ask me if I like Star Wars.
Do you like Star Wars, Mike?
No, I do not. But I have it on DVD.
That's right.
Just like in the 70s, the Reds were good and Star Wars was good.
I would like to also point out, not even on Blu-ray. It's just regular DVD.
Like it's like the 1998 season. You get the DVD.
That's right.
There
now,
you go.
Did I get... I'm a fan of both these teams, so this may be a little tricky.
Mm-mm.
A Chicago Bears t-shirt, size double XL, or an Ohio State Buckeye t-shirt, size medium.
Yeah.
Did you get the medium or the one that's fallen off of them?
I'm thinking the medium myself.
You're thinking the medium?
Are you split on this one?
I'm going to go with whatever you think. My instincts are terrible on this. I got
the medium. Yeah. Now ask me if I fit into it.
Did you fit into it?
No, I did not.
Did you fit into the double XL?
I mean, it was
a little big.
Big on me.
Okay.
But
you
could
wear
it?
Both?
No, I just like meant in general that I fit into a double XL.
Okay. You only got one of the two.
Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
This is funny.
Did I receive computer paper or printer ink?
Oh, wow. That's
computer
totally
paper was my ran. First instinct, but I'm going to go with whatever you think.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you may not know what computer printer that he has. So paper is universal. So let's go with the paper.
No.
I'm so bad at this.
There's a couple of things I want to point out here. First of all, computer paper is the one thing, I don't know why, I refuse to pay for it. So I always steal it from the office. I always steal it from here. And I'm brazen about it, too. I walk out with big handfuls of packages of computer paper.
Yeah, and with fish right there, too.
Right. I don't even care. Yeah. It's just like, that's part of my bonus.
Fish is like, do you need some help? Yeah, give me another box.
I don't know why I refuse to buy paper, but I do. It's just something I can't do. But I got computer printer ink. For an HP printer. Now, ask me if I have an HP or had at this time an HP printer.
Common man, do you have an HP printer? Did you back then?
No, I got an ink cartridge for a printer that I did not own.
I mean, buying my computer printer or paper is really, stupid, but at least that's universal, people
right.
Fits your machine, but. Yeah.
Unless it was his wife who knew exactly what he had. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't have made any sense just for some rando to give him printing ink for Christmas.
Now, this is a bonus. This is not on the this is not on the list here, but
this is all you, Teddy.
My wife, who's gotten better, by the way. She's gotten better at giving gifts throughout the years, but in our 20 years of marriage, I've gotten a lot of crap from her. She would admit it. Now, first couple years we were married, I forget if it was Christmas or if it was for Valentine's Day, but it was one of those things. She gave me a package of love tokens, okay, which is like commemorative coins that say, get a kiss. It's whatever. Have we ever used those? No, never. I also got a pair of monogram boxer shorts that say baby cakes on them. Now, two things. Ask me if I wear boxer shorts or have ever worn boxer shorts.
Do you wear boxer shorts?
I do not.
You've never worn them?
I didn't then, and I don't now. And has she ever in her life called me baby cakes?
There was that one time.
Never.
Maybe like the honeymoon or something. She let out a baby cake.
No, never. I think she was trying it on for size, and it never took. Tomorrow on the show, all the Christmas gifts I got from 2021.
Sweet.
Uh-huh. And the Afro. Back page coming up. Common Man and Timmy on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got a 5-minute holdup on westbound 270 on the north outer belt, going from 161 to 71. And you're going to hit about a 10-minute delay on northbound 71 from East Broad Street to Weber Road on the north side. This report is sponsored by Ohio Basement Authority, your local expert. Is water seeping into your basement? Are your basement walls cracking? Contact Ohio Basement Authority, the basement waterproofing experts. Get your free inspection today. Learn more at ohiobasementauthority.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan.
The Football on The Fan. Join Tyler Danberg and Coach Larry Wolf for the Capital Ford of Columbus High School Football Game of the Week.
This week, Olentangy Orange at Olentangy Berlin.
Live coverage starts Friday at 6:30. The Fan. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by KDHVAC, doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
Buckeye Show coming up at the top of the hour. The fine host of the Buckeye Show is the Beamer.
Brandon Beam. Hello, Beamer.
Common Man Bids. Happy Tuesday to you.
Happy Tuesday to you.
What's happening?
What's the good word out there today? It seemed really busy in the office when I walked out to my desk.
When the fish is away, the mice will play. No one here again for the third straight day in a row.
Get ready.
Get ready for 2 weeks
of that. The afro's coming out tomorrow.
We were talking to Bids. I was talking to Bids earlier about confidence rankings with Ohio State football position groups.
Okay.
And it's going to shock you, not even a little bit, that he's most confident about the quarterback position and the wide receiver position.
I think that's pretty fair when you analyze this roster.
Right. And he's least confident in the special teams, which has been a problem on this team the last few years.
Are you just not confident in the place-kicking ability, or is it everything? Because I know that they made a point of emphasis hiring Robbie Disher, and that's the first time in a while that there's been like a full-time special teams
coach.
Which,
by the way, isn't that boggling?
It wasn't even that long ago, guys. He was just really bad at his job. Parker Fleming was actually here not that long ago as special teams.
So 2 years ago?
Everybody just forgets because he was bad and no one knew how he had the job.
I like that answer.
But anyway, to answer your question, like, I'd like to say four, as I was telling Mike. Like, I went 3 out of 5, so it's not like I'm not giving them a 1 or 2 out of 5.
Yeah, five is 3. Most confident. Okay. One, yeah, is Jaden Fielding trying to kick a field goal.
Or anything.
Right.
Right. We either want Jaden Fielding kicking a field
keep
goal
or
Joe Bosserman trying to complete a pass. Mm-hmm. That's one. So I went 3 for the special teams. I think Connor Hawkins is going to be good. I think Joe McGuire has been solid as the punter. They've been challenging him to get like more like distance, more hang time. I think he's going to be a little improved. I just need to see it first. You know?
I think Joe McGuire's task like the last year was literally 1-2, kick the ball. Doesn't matter like how far it goes.
Right.
Just get it off. Like, our defense is good enough that even if you punt the ball 30 yards, like, our defense is probably going to be able to defend the amount of field that it has. And now everything that I've heard is like, all right, well, he's going to have a little bit more time back there and actually utilize his leg. Like, and I think he, you know, unfairly gets a bad rap from Ohio State fans that he doesn't have a big leg. He does. He was just asked to kick the ball quickly to make sure that nothing happened.
More fun stuff like that with Beamer at 6. Who's on the show with you tonight and what's coming up on the show?
Guys, Austin Ward hanging out with me this evening. His comrade Berm is going to join us at 6:30. We'll get to his question of the day, kind of about his confidence rankings, weakest point, strongest point of this team, Bids, and then get into the college football pulse at 7 o'clock. Underrated and overrated teams heading into the season.
So you're just stealing Mike's topics?
Well, we didn't know.
Why not? Why not, right? Yeah. Why not?
When we have, like you and Austin Ward, we have these genius Buckeye reporters on the scene. We have to take advantage of their knowledge.
At least Austin might fit that bill. I don't know if I do.
Buckeye Show, top of the hour, right here on The Fan. Back page.
The Back Page.
Sponsored by Care Heating and Cooling. When you need a company you can trust, call 1-800-COOLING.
Two things can be true about the Browns. They could be absolutely terrible and suck, and I also think Jared Verse is awesome.
I think he's very good.
Okay, so he comes over from the Rams, and he was in a little fight at practice with their rookie offensive lineman, Fano, right? Mm-hmm. And here's what Jared Verse had to say. I think fighting's necessary when it comes to football. I'm very disrespectful when it comes to the way I compete, especially when I try to drive my teammates to another level. So I wouldn't expect him any less than to retaliate, because that's the type of player he is. And then he praised him. He said, going up against him, he's gotten so much better these past couple weeks. In the time we've been together, he's gotten so much better. And because he's getting better, he's getting to the point where I'm starting to learn things from him. I'm learning my tendencies and what he's picking up on, so it's making me a better player as well. He also had some thoughts on the Ohio weather. It's been very rainy here.
He's an Ohio guy, born in Dayton, I believe.
But
Beaver Creek, specifically.
Mm-hmm. He's been out in L.A.
The Crick.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shaw Elementary.
He says, California doesn't really rain that much. I was outside yesterday just enjoying the rain, sitting on the back porch, just like taking deep little breaths, seeing deer run around and everything like that.
That makes it one person cool in the entire state who was excited that it rained again yesterday.
At least it didn't rain today after 40 days and 40 nights.
I have deer in my neighborhood, too. And I'm just like, why is it still raining outside? Please stop it.
when he was informed that he was being traded from the Rams to the Browns, you'd think you'd be maybe upset because you're coming from a team that has a chance to win the Super Bowl to not.
You telling me the Browns aren't going to win the Super Bowl?
He says, I mean, I like it here, but I wasn't really distraught at all. After kind of the initial shock, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I'm a Brown. Let's work. I love the organization, especially the first day of camp. You see all the fans out there. I'm like, damn, like, excuse my French. Like, the fans, it was lit out there. They was lively, and they bleed orange and brown. I love it out here.
I mean, it's a great attitude to have, right? I mean, he's still on his rookie deal. I think he's a heck of a player. He knows he's going to get paid either by the Browns or someone in a couple of years. So, whatever, man. Like, good for you for having that attitude, because I think he's obviously not Myles Garrett, but he's very good.
He's not Myles Garrett, yes. And this team is not going to be very good. It's not because he can't be good, right? We've seen Myles Garrett be one of the best players in the league on a crappy team. But one of the reasons why the Browns are not going to be very good is the quarterback position.
Did you watch on Saturday?
I did, and I didn't quite see, I guess, what Todd Monken saw, where he said Deshaun Watson was performing at a very high level after the game.
He looked competent.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's a veteran in his 30s who should look competent. Yeah. Even though he hasn't played a ton of football recently, he should still look competent in the pocket, like he's been there before. And I was not overly impressed. Shedeur Sanders, too, I was not overly impressed, but no. I was impressed when he came out and apologized to the media for being short with them. Did you hear him after the game? Let's take a listen.
And how you doing, little partner?
Fine. And it's little visitor now. Adewoyoli is how you say it in Cherokee.
Oh, well, pardon my French, but I'll be damned.
Walker told me I have AIDS.
Did I get you, Teddy? Did I get you?
No, you didn't get me.
You got me.
You got me. Right. Teddy's like, I've been around the block too many times.
Buckeye show's coming up next. I'll see you tomorrow. Common Man and Timmy on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza in Grandview. Come for the pizza, stay for the dive.
We've got hold up due to an accident that's on westbound 270's off-ramp to US 23 on the north outer belt. And we've got some slowdown on southbound 270 on the east outer belt from Main Street to 33. This report is sponsored by Mesilla Valley Transportation. Groveport CDLA drivers, your next opportunity is here. Join Mesilla Valley Transportation for competitive pay, steady miles, and the home time you deserve. Apply today at driveformvt.com. That's driveformvt.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan.